to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of... Not on the air in New York, Don.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Taking violent tone at people.
We're broadcasters. In our business, morals are one thing, but ratings are everything.
We want Bush. We want Bush. We want Bush now. We want Bush now. We want Bush now. We want Bush now. We want Bush now.
I love bitches.
Suck me. The Donna. I cracked myself up. I heard myself saying that and it made me laugh.
Strickland Propane tastes the meat, not the heat.
Hello, Hank?
Speaking.
How you doing? It's Matt.
Who is this?
Consenting adults? The country's largest supplier of mail order adult entertainment? Somebody can put you down for
them. Zero. God, please, watch your mouth. This is an interstate phone line. How did you get this number?
Not important. What is important is that we have a bigger selection and lower prices than Arlen Video.
What? Arlen Video told you I rent pornography? Who plays the most hits? Y-104. Yeah, okay. Crazy morning zoo.
You got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
You know, as human beings, we should be able to talk this out, not resort to violence.
He asked for Sabian.
In the name of Jesus, we create the eardrum. Amen. Say it, amen. Amen.
You, but I can't
understand. You don't know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Well, say it.
You asked me if I knew what you'd say.
Well, that's what I said. You ready to be healed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
You have no brain.
Cher, what's this all about?
Land for cut.
The same semester? What'd you do, turn in some extra credit reports?
No.
Did you take the midterms over? You mean to tell me that you argued your way from a C+ to an A-?
Totally based on my powers of persuasion. You proud?
Honey, I couldn't be happier than if they were based on real grades.
Let's go to Chuck in Gainesville, Virginia. Chuck, what say you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good.
For you. I just have a whole issue with this Jessica situation where people need to get to the point, get to the facts, and start questioning the right people, which is her. And I think you make a very good and valid point. And what's going on in Bush's mind, I don't think any of us are going to completely know. And the two people who really know what's going on with Bush would be Don and Mike. A lot of Bush.
Don and Mike, all right? I'm delirious here. Our affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJFK. How can I forget that? Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Yeah.
You are a great fan. Thank you so much. Anybody here never seen us before? Anybody? A couple of people. Well, our show is the memories of Elvis, and now this is a tribute to the late King of Rock and Roll. You know, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
No, he's not retarded.
I'll drink to that.
Hi,
Donna
Mike.
We appreciate it.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
What you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Here they are.
Oh.
Hey,
sweeping changes at the top of this company yesterday, and say hello to some of your new executives.
Jesus. You know, they never change. I don't know what their problem is.
Jesus.
They just put on different uniforms, guys.
Right. True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
They're summer uniforms. White khaki. Very nice.
Right.
Good afternoon.
Banana Republic, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bambi Hunter and all the ships at sea. Hey, you never saw such a show. Get it?
Yeah,
it's good, right?
Yeah, you're right.
There's
that
Don Rao microphone.
Manzai, Rob. Yeah. Hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Note that I said that. Thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday, July 16ers.
Right.
Don and Mike Broadcast Network on stations that are okay and stations that suck, but it's our network. What are you going to do? Phone number 877-365-3636. From any station, good or sucky. From Canada. 800-636-1067. In Washington, D.C., your hotline, your special number, 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
As always, there's so many questions at the beginning of any radio show that we like to have answered.
Is anyone listening?
That's always one of the questions.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know. Shut up.
Shut up.
Important question for everybody.
Did you wash your ass today?
Yep. And, of course.
Someone called for a doctor? And that's how we do it.
I like that. I like that. That's nice.
That's how we do it. Hi. Listen. Okay. The baseball game was last night. The All-Star game. This time it counts.
Best League won. We used to fight about
that. No comment.
I miss those days.
I can't get it up for that anymore, Mike.
I miss those days.
I can't get it up for that.
Didn't we have a bet at one point? We used to bet on the All-Star
game. Yeah, I still think the National League is a hustling league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't play with a pussy DH, but the American League won.
Didn't hustle enough last night.
American League won last night. It's because they love that dope from Los Angeles and with those big Coke bottle glasses.
Gagney.
Guy that, I guess, you know, I don't follow baseball. I'm watching this last night. They said, this guy's not lost a game. They put him in a game. This guy has not lost a game since last August.
Wow.
Boom!
He had saved like 56 games in a row.
Boom!
Yeah. First guy comes up, some schmuck I never heard of from the Angels. Pow!
Garrett.
Was
it Garrett Edmonds?
It was Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. Yes.
Garrett Morris.
Our top story tonight.
So anyway, what can I say? America's caught up in baseball fever,
mm-hmm.
And today we're going to try to capitalize on this trend because most days most people don't care about baseball. But you've got the following incidents over the last week. You have the guy for the Pirates who hit the sausage mascot with the bat.
Right.
Then you had the home run derby, and last night you had the All-Star game.
Oh. All-Star game and Chris Berman's hair.
Today, or lack thereof.
His hair looks ridiculous. And there's a guy that obviously nobody's telling you.
And one other thing with Chris Berman, and, you know, far be it from me or you or anybody in this room to critique another on their appearance, but I will. When you're at a game and you're going to be sitting at the anchor desk down on the field and you're wearing a suit coat, for God's sakes, Chris Berman, wear a long sleeve shirt. Because when he has short sleeves on,
when he moves his arm, the sleeve of the jacket moves up, and all you see is that big, fleshy, meaty, pinky,
red. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, if you're going to wear a suit and tie, wear a suit and tie.
Same thing when I'm watching Letterman or something. If I see a guest on there, and they cross their legs, and you can see that spot on a guy's leg where the...
Between the sock and the calf.
Yeah. It's like, I want so much just to stop the show, run down to New York, and say, pull your sock up.
Knee highs. Get your knee highs on.
You look like a dick. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to say that to Sonny Jurgensen.
Yeah.
But I watch him on the George Michael show.
You see the separation.
I spend endless hours screaming at the TV, Sonny, pull up your hose. Pull the socks up. Pull up your hosiery. So anyway, today, here's what we're doing. We're going to be going outside momentarily with as many people as possible. And we're going to take the first 20 comers here for the Sausage Home Run Derby, combining all of the elements that have surrounded baseball over the last week. We've actually got a home plate, first base, second base, third base, pitcher's mound, out on back, behind the station at the back parking area, off Oak Street. And we have 20 2-foot-long kielbasa sausages.
So that means 20 people will be able to bat?
First 20. Charles Broyhill will be the pitcher. He will slow pitch underhand the sausage to you.
And I think the first person to go would be at a decided disadvantage because... I think this is all about technique, not about brute force.
Like I was telling you yesterday, I believe what you want to do is, like, if you ever played baseball, and I've attempted to a couple of times, but if you're out there shagging flies in the outfield,
right,
when the guy lobs the ball to you, you don't try to smack it out of the park. You just kind of get an upswing on it, and you just want to have the ball pop up.
Is there a grill out there?
There's not a grill. Although it's hot enough.
Hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Hot enough to fry a dog's brain.
Please don't leave your dog in the car during this time.
So the deal is that we're going to be paying $10 a foot.
Yeah.
For whoever can hit. Now the sausage...
$10 a foot for everybody or $10 a foot to the winner?
To the winner.
Ah.
Now the sausages will probably explode. Then we will break it down to the biggest piece of sausage that travels the furthest.
Right.
I imagine you'll see the pitch, the swing of the bat, and then, sausage will go flying everywhere. And what we will do then is try to find...
And the Orioles, thank you.
Give that fan a contract.
We will go out. We've got a tape measure that goes 150 feet.
Good.
I can't imagine for the life of me, I'm going to hit one of these things more than 25 feet.
Are we going to be able to take a whack at it? Try.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
I hope that somebody gets a snout, because the snouts would probably travel furthest.
Now, Rob, is this thing turned on outside yet?
I don't know. You can try.
Hello? Come in outside.
I don't hear anything.
Well, we've been working on this for the last, couple of hours.
I hear silence. I don't even hear traffic going by.
No?
And there's loads of traffic on Main Street in Fairfax, Virginia. Let me tell you something.
I'm troubled by this because we've set this thing up.
There seems to be silencio.
Where's the engineer at?
I imagine he'd be down there.
He's down there. Well, maybe someone should be up here running the patch cord so we can hear. I thought I had a meeting with people before the show today to say, I want this ready so we can do like a test in the first break.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll move on. We'll wait to hear, but our doors are open. And as soon as we get the microphones turned on outside, 10800 Main Street.
Come on down.
Toothless Fairfax, Virginia. You can't miss it. You see the giant, as soon as you turn on off Oak Street onto Main Street, you're going to see the giant billboard that says, this is where Don and Mike work.
And then come in and join us for the Beat the Meat Derby.
You're gonna see us, and then you get to take your swing and maybe walk away with money. And maybe that's how we'll give away today's airfare anywhere that the Southwest Airlines flies as well.
Great prize.
Not really sure about that, but we'll figure it out. Hey, Rob, why don't you try to get on that, please, and let me know what they're doing. See if you can contact somebody so we can get word from downstairs. Meanwhile, I'm not even going to call my wife today, but I want to tell you what she said to me today, and then I'm going to get on to something else here. She said to me, in all seriousness, I was standing in front of her, and she was sitting at the computer, and we were chatting about our day, and she said, you know what I want you to do? And I was just waiting. Because I'm...
Could be anything, right?
As always, I'm waiting for the worst. Yeah. I'm certainly not going to hear, I want you to take me into the bedroom and make mad love to me. Or, I want to service you like you've never been serviced.
Right? I want you to stay just the way you are.
No, if Mike, almost 22 years, I have never heard that.
Okay.
I have never heard that, what with, you know, with dieting and lifestyle changing and everything. I've never heard, I want you to stay the way you are.
Not heard that, all right.
Now, I've worked real hard on my weight. I've lost 62 pounds, ran 2.5 miles today, swam laps, feel good, think I'm looking a little better. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
I'm great.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, well, there he is. There's our engineer.
Hello, Wendell.
Hello. How are you?
Hello, and Lisa, you down there, too?
Yes, I am.
Great. Now, do we have sound of the actual, are we going to have a microphone by where the guys will be, and girls will be hitting the sausages?
Absolutely.
There it is. I heard the aluminum bat.
That's the bat that, incidentally, these poor guys are sports junkies. I love them. They used to work here. When I was the program director, I had one meeting with them one time.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
When I was trying to get a point across to them, and I just sat in my office with a baseball bat in my hand, and it totally flipped them out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the sports junkies. Of course it flipped them out. You had a bat in your hand.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
Hi, it's Rob. I can't find Wendell anywhere.
Hi, Rob. No, we know you're down there. We just heard from him.
What's that?
Okay. We're all set up down there.
Don't run. You'll kill yourself.
Rob, how does the ball field look to you out there?
You know, I'm a big sports fan, and I can't look at it and not get nostalgic. It's beautiful.
There you go.
Is a pitcher's mound. There is a home plate, a batter's box for right or left-handers. So I guess if you're a switch hitter, come on out.
How about the meat? Have you seen the meat?
Oh, boy, I was right on it. It is beautiful. Safeway Select smoked sausage, and here's good news. It's fully cooked.
Oh.
Fully cooked.
Fantastic.
So you can eat it.
And there is a chance.
Oh, you know what fully cooked means also? It'll be firmer.
Yeah. Actually, I would think that would mean it's probably broken down a bit more.
There is, as a matter of fact, a church roughly about 200 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, and there's a fence. There's a chance that somebody could knock one out of the park.
Hit it over.
And you're on the air. I have to tell you that. But they just deleted it out. You know, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
If they call our number...
But they called the inside number.
Oh.
It used to be when we would get...
We had more fun with wrong numbers because then we could go on for a half an hour.
Wrong number calls on the hotline, but they would like go, hello, would you like to buy a subscription to the Washington Times?
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is Pete there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete's dead.
Anyway, you guys didn't hear that. It was a wrong number, and Mike and I both jumped. We crouched, you know, crouching tiger, hidden dragon into our position.
Earlier today, Pete died.
Do a wacky phone call.
Tragic escalator accident.
I'm with Pete's wife right now.
Yeah, man, she is naked.
Boy, is she a hot piece of ass. Anyway, downstairs, can you guys still hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay, hi, Rob.
Hi.
So, tell me something. How far do you think it is from the plate, from the batter's box, to that fence over by the church? If someone was to actually hit the sausage out of the park, as it were.
Well, we're measuring it even as we speak. Hold on. Here's the sound of the tape measure.
That's a tape measure, all right.
That's like a secret sound.
You know what's
sound. Great?
There's a name tape to the tape measure. Billy Reed.
Billy Reed.
That shows how long Broyhill's had that
Lisa
tape measure.
Is probably two-thirds of the way there. How long is this tape measure, Wendell?
150 feet.
150 feet. It's going to almost make it. And hold on. That's almost... That's it.
So you figure in a major league...
So it is about 160 feet so to the fence.
In a major league ballpark, even a short fence is like 300 feet.
300 feet.
So this is roughly half of that to hit a sausage. If you knock it out of the park, you're the winner.
Yeah.
If you knock a big hunk out of the park...
Well, I mean, you know, you never know. What if you had two people that hit it out of the park?
Well, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that anybody really is going to hit this thing more than 20 feet.
I think the smoked sausage is a firmer product, and I think it'll be fine.
Also, there's an obstacle at play here, because there's the overhang that says if your car is more than, what, 8.5 feet tall?
Oh, yeah, and there's a chance you could hit that. Then you're going to have to put your Tropicana field regulations into play.
Right, so what you're going to have to do is hit the ball on an arc.
Right.
So you either go underneath
right.
or over the sign. It's like, yeah, you're right, it's like playing in a dome.
Sure, and you know, they have all these rules that if they hit the top of the dome, it's a double or it's a home run, you know.
All right, Rob, well, we're set. Let us know as soon as people up.
We got a few people here already, good-looking young bucks that are ready to play.
Excellent.
Maybe we'll come down in the next break then and get this baby started.
Very good.
All right, thanks, Robbie.
Rob out.
Okay, right.
Rob out.
So, I'm sitting there with my wife today, and it's you know, I mean, she's a wonderful person, and I really, I love her with all my heart, but she just can't help it. No matter what I do to try to better myself, it's never good enough.
Not good enough
it's,
for her.
You know, for a while it was the Jolly Directive.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was, you know, the you're out of shape and I'm concerned about your health directive. I work on all of these things. Today, this is the one that just cut me to the quick. I'm standing there and she says, she's looking at me, she says, I can't tell you. And I said, what? You can tell me anything. She said, okay, don't get mad.
Oh, that's always tough.
I really think you should dye your hair. I said, are you crazy? She said, look how much gray you have in your hair. I said, yes, and? She said, well, how old are you now? 41, 42? I said, I'm going to be 45 in September. I have no problem with gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, given the current rate that your hair is turning gray, in a couple of years you're going to have hair like Michael McDonald or Phil Donahue. Wow. And I said, it doesn't bother me.
You know, I've got a theory on that. I think guys that do that look like Arnold does in the tabloids and look ridiculous. It looks like your hair is painted.
She said to me, it's just like the commercial. She said, if you just put in a little bit every day, eventually the gray would go away and no one would even notice it. And then she said to me, this was the worst thing of all. She said, I wanted to say this to you when we were on vacation. She said, but when you were sitting on the beach, when it was very crowded, you know how I found you? How? I looked for that big mass of gray hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a shocker.
Coming down on me about gray hair. And I just had to make it.
Did you explain to her that it's kind of natural for somebody your age to have gray hair?
Yeah. I said, I would never color my hair.
You know, Elvis died at age 42, and when he did, his hair was growing pure white.
And do you know, Rob? Well, you know this, why I'm asking you this. But Elvis also used to dye his eyebrows. And one of the reasons Elvis had eye problems, glaucoma, was that when he would be on stage, the makeup from his high... Hey, Mike's just spilled his beverage on his shirt.
Oh, dear.
You know, caramel color,
white T-shirt,
the
station T-shirt, the white T-shirt. I'll get another one.
Elvis would be on stage, and he would be profusely sweating because he was such a big, drugged-out pig, and the makeup from his eyebrows would get embedded in the sweat around his eyes, and then
would irritate them,
and actually,
infect
his eye.
This is a hard thing to see.
That is a very difficult thing to do.
Thank you. You are a great colorist.
But his hairdresser at his funeral had to color his roots with mascara.
Do you know,
I didn't want to dye the hair on the corpse.
Yeah, my beard started to go gray about a year ago, and now it just gets grayer and grayer and grayer. And I flirted with the idea of getting that stuff they sell on TV.
Just for men.
The beard stuff.
And, just for men.
And then a friend, a guy much older than me, came to a party, and he had dyed both his beard and his hair, and he was all gray. And I laughed harder at that than I've ever laughed, and I made a determination. I still flirt with the idea of maybe darkening my beard a little bit, because I look at the, just to make the beard look better. The reason I don't like the gray in the beard is because the beard almost looks transparent. It's
so blends in more.
And
you just have to grow a thicker beard.
I can't.
You have.
Because I came.
You have in the past.
Well, no, I mean, I trim it. I don't want to, like, grow it super long, so yeah. I still might do that. But I don't think I'd ever use the Just for Men product.
But you are much less gray than I am. I've got it all over the my chin, but then on the sides and on the top.
I think I'm about a year behind you, roughly. I mean, you're 4 months older than I am?
Let me take my headphones off.
Okay. Let us see. Yeah, at the temples, which is usually the first place.
It's pretty exaggerated. That's a lot of it. And my hair is longer.
I don't want to sound like a fag. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think your hair looks... It kind of looks neat.
Faggot.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's silvery.
It looks
gorgeous.
And here's what she said to me. She said, do you want your hair to look like Polly Walnuts? And I have to say...
Polly Walnuts hair looks kind of cool.
I have to say, I'm okay with that.
Paulie Walnuts colors his hair to make it look like that.
Well, anyway, that was what I got today. That was today's compliment du jour from my wife.
You know, you could just dye part of it and you'd end up looking like Bonnie Raitt.
Bad luck. Yeah,
do a streak.
With that Bride of Frankenstein thing.
You got it on the side.
This is where you have it.
Hold on. Is this her calling in?
Hello?
That
was today.
It's Rita. Who is this?
Your wife.
Oh, hi, baby. I didn't know it was you. Hi.
I just one thing, one comment on this for both of you guys. The people that you notice are the do-it-yourselfers. The people that you have no clue that do it are the people that have it done right.
But baby, what's really...
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
There are good ones and bad ones.
So what she wanted to do, she was going down to this to the salon today.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me...
I have found out about men that I know that I had no clue, and because they have it done well.
Well, I'm not having it done. I mean, you can harp on me about everything else.
I'm not harping on you about it. That wasn't even a harp. That was just chit-chat. I'm sorry that you took it personally. You're very handsome.
Well, no, it was not a question.
All women do it, right? All women color.
The thing is, I tell my wife, honey, how many
times... colors his hair.
No, I do not. In fact, if you look closely, you'll see gray in this. You just don't see it from where you sit.
Buzz, your hair...
bushy and curly.
Since we've come back from vacation, your hair has definitely got shades of light orange in it.
It got lighter because I spent 10 days in a pool with chlorine and sunshine.
Chlorine will bleach
it
out.
If Buzz is coloring his hair, it doesn't look dramatically different.
No, he's probably doing it the way that my wife suggested.
I hold out the fact that you might see the beard darker at some point on my face.
Hey, I hate my beard. If you want to do it, I'll say.
No, I don't want to do my hair. I don't want to color my hair. I really don't.
But he would color his beard.
I'll send you to a good place, and of course your buddies will know, and everyone will know because they'll tell everyone on the air. But
no, 6 million people. No, I won't care. I could grow it out, I just do it for fun.
You know, a few years down the road, we'll all be getting gray. Couldn't we all just get matching hair colors?
But either way,
Hannah, for show morale.
I'm not doing it. I didn't say this to my wife today. I wouldn't mind having the Michael McDonald look. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having all gray hair. That's fine with me.
Some gray hair is pretty, but darling, you have a pretty color of silver. They're right. You're the silver fox. Don't you worry about it. I was just chit-chatting with you.
Yeah, right. It was just like out of the blue. It was just one of those things. I'm just standing there, and you just looked at me up and down. And you said, you know, you really should come with me today and get your hair colored.
It's just I think it would be fun.
I think it's a great injustice.
You know me. I've had my hair every color in the rainbow.
I know. Every color except its real color.
Well, that's boring.
It's a great injustice to have gray hair and get zits at the same time.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
All right, baby. Well, thank you for clarifying your stance on that.
All right, my darling. You're a very handsome man.
Well, you know, I've worked so hard to improve myself for you constantly. I'm constantly under your watch.
You're not doing it for me, sweetie. You're doing it for yourself and maybe your next wife. Who knows? But you're not doing it for me.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I am doing it for you, not for my next wife.
All right.
For my next wife will just accept me the way that I am. Big. And by the time you're gone, I'm going to be like Marlon Brando. That's what I just have said. Hey, I'm giving up on everything. But for right now, as long as I'm with you, you saw me today. I ran my thing on the treadmill. I ran my ass off down there, sweaty.
You know, then you go out and tan, you look handsome and tanned and silver-haired, who could ask for more?
It sounds like she's happy with you.
Okay, well then why did you say that?
Because if you wanted to experiment, you know, I think it would be fun. But, you know, why mess with perfection? You're absolutely right.
Honey, you know me, I don't like to experiment.
Right.
What did you make me for dinner last night?
Shake and bake. And I accidentally, the Steewex, I think, left some pork chops because I thought it was frozen chicken. I accidentally shake and bake pork chops, too.
Mm. Doesn't matter. I ate those, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I was happy as a pickin' ass last night. I got home and I said, oh, you made me shake and bake. I love shake and bake. I have such simple needs, actually. Really. Not a complicated person. All right. Love you, baby.
All right. Love you, too, sweetie.
All right. I'll see you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. So I get home tonight, her hair will be some shade of orange. You know, I'd always told my wife that she should just be like, I don't know who that network newscaster is, one of those news babes that got a little long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Not that my wife is, but she let her hair go. It was Kathleen somebody, and it was like half gray and half black. I thought it looked fine.
Yeah.
It looked sexy.
You know what I do like? I like the idea, the idea of coloring hair is that you color your hair until you're a certain age, and then you're like Bob Barker, and I'll show up, and it's all white. And that was just so cool when he did that. I loved that. I loved that about it. But I think for a lot of guys, it's. I was looking at that picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of the People magazines.
We were all looking at that yesterday.
And he looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Because he's painting his hair.
Because it looks, it's, you know, not only is he coloring it, but he's obviously coloring it a different color, and he looks like Bozo.
And he says, and I says.
He says, I'm a phony.
I says, hello, Joan. Don and Mike, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, I just wanted to follow up on something you were saying a couple of weeks ago. You had said that the Buddies die in three. Well, Buddy Dean died today. It wasn't Buddy Ryan, but...
Hey. Oh, the DJ from Baltimore?
Yeah.
I called it.
The guy who had the TV show, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rob actually said that to me off the air. He said...
called it when he had his stroke.
Right.
Buddy Dean.
Yeah, Buddy Dean.
He's from Baltimore, Mike.
That was
Baltimore
DCR thing. TV, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know the show, the movie Hairspray? That dance show in the movie Hairspray is based loosely on Buddy Dean.
Exactly. So what that means, good news, Buddy Ryan will live to see another day.
That is correct.
Or will he?
Mother, where's the toilet paper?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mother, God, did we used to have some good Buddy Ryan bits when he was the coach of the Eagles.
Amen.
About Buddy Ryan on the toilet.
I don't think you'll see him coaching again.
I don't think I saw something on NFL Films that he's one of these guys. He's a rancher now.
Yeah.
He's out there with horses and stuff.
Yeah, just spending most of the day in the bathroom.
Mother, we're out of paper, Mother.
We need some more 2-ply up here, Mother.
And Buddy Ryan was also, I think, one of the first coaches that we thought needed the tongs.
Yeah.
The special wiping tongs. He and Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips, the coach of the Bills. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. Don't yell, my friend.
So angry.
Why are you angry?
Because Fido always tries to micromanage your life, man.
Yes, I know, dude.
That's terrible, man. Hey, you know, gray hair looks so distinguished. You're going to look like Mr. Fantastic in a few months, man.
The wrestler. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. That certainly is pushing me in the right way.
Yeah, man.
I look like Mr. Fantastic.
Don, man, come on. Come and join us. We all have a good time, man.
I love the Don and Mike show. Hello?
John.
Yes.
What's up? Trust me.
What? Mike. Trust me, when we answer the phone and I say Don and Mike, all you guys should know, we're here. You don't have to check and make sure Don, Mike,
yeah.
Buzz.
Right.
When we answer
the
phone,
I'm going to go around and give you to suck me.
Yeah.
Oh, you said suck me.
Yes.
Can the guy be nice?
Right back at you.
All right, so I didn't hear the suck me. I didn't hear that.
Oh, it's cool. We're all side of this here.
Was there anything else besides the suck me?
No. Don, I hear... And Frida is always picking on you about something, whether it's lose your weight, you know, you got gray hair, you know, go on a bike ride. You got to start laying, like, the pin slap down on her or something.
Yeah,
you
got to
start keeping her in check.
That's what I'm going to do. That's it. Let me write that one down after 22 years of being married. I'm going to start hitting her. So you want me to start slapping. Slap. I'm writing that right down. Slap Frida. Okay, thank you.
I'm just trying, you know, my mom's a whore.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well,
there's some issues in that call.
Yeah. He bailed out the correct way. Said his mom's a whore.
Kind of issues.
His mom's a whore. Charlie was just in here. Charlie, how many folks are down there for the sausage thing?
I believe there are 5 so far.
All right. Well, then let's do a break and we'll come back and we'll get this baby started.
Fantastic.
So that means no secret sound right now. No secret sound right now.
I know what it is.
I know. I remembered it, too. But we'll bring that back later in the show. And then something that I believe of a very controversial nature that I want to share with all of you later in the show. And, Mike, you should be equally mad about this.
Very good.
You know, there's not a lot of original ideas in radio. And I say a lot of times, you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some things that we do on this show that I swear to God, they're bits that I thought up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Highway Love Connection, like driving up to a fast... I mean, they're not Pulitzer Prize-winning ideas, but they're ideas, there's bits we do
mm-hmm.
that really I thought up.
Right.
And there's one bit in particular that Mike and I both thought up together. And we used to do it so much, and people loved it so much, that we actually had a disclaimer. When we would give out the phone number, we had a recorded thing saying, don't ask us where you're calling from.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask us if we're coming to your town.
Rules.
Or don't tell us where you're calling from. Don't ask us where we're coming to your town. Mm-hmm. And know who would you do calls.
So who would you do a book?
Are you ready for this? There is a woman, a plagiarist, named Susan Segrest. And here is her book, The Totally Unauthorized Celebrity Sex Game, Who... would you do?
Oh, man.
Now listen to this. We're going to book
man,
this.
Man, even like doing it the way we do it.
We're going to book this bitch on the show because here's the come on to this end. Disc jockeys, would you like to have some of life's more important questions answered?
Oh, my God.
Would you do Joan Collins or Joan Rivers? The Bush twins or Chelsea Clinton?
Wow.
Who would you do? On your radio show, we hope you'll consider doing any of the following. Confronting your host with a stumper. Who would you do? Martha Stewart or Dr. Laura?
That was the key to our game. It used to be the closer the people. Exactly. So that's what really, made the game really, more of a challenge.
Really, either very hot women mm-hmm. or very gross women.
How many years ago did we start doing Who Would You Do?
Over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it to the point where people called us with it so much.
Yeah. Right.
That we got burned out on
it. Yeah, we said no. You know, when we had that disclaimer, no Who Would You Do calls.
Mm-hmm. But now we've got this woman, Susan Segrest, and now we have no legal claim to this. No. We didn't copyright the idea.
No, it's hers.
But the point is that it was our idea. The only thing that I see in the beginning here, and has nothing that mentions us, of course, although it goes without saying, the author wishes to note for the record that none of the individuals mentioned in the book, Living or Dead, have consented to making an appearance in her book or in her fantasy life. Then she's got a little introduction here about how she created the game. The beginning of Who Would You Do? The hypothetical no holds barred, no celebrity too hot, and no rock star too gross question and answer game. I've played this game so often I've begun to think that it's polite conversation to ask people about their fantasies. So now it's your turn. Here is the rules. Start out with people you know. On the back of this book, you'll be faced with a sexual section. If you want to make the game really competitive, have your friends write down their answers and mix them up. Remember, you have to pick someone. None of this I'd rather die. All the same stuff that we've always said on
right,
the show.
Right.
So you go through and here are some of them that, and I know, listen, now please, long-time listeners, tell me you've never heard this on the show before. Who would you rather do, Monica, Phoebe, or Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've had that. Who would you rather do, Jay Leno or David Letterman? Who would you rather do, Reese Witherspoon or Kate Hudson? Who would you rather do, Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
This causes me a great deal of pain. It's a clear-cut mm-hmm. case of plagiarism.
Who would you rather do, Lucy Liu, Cameron Diaz, and Drew Barrymore, or Farrah Fawcett, Kate Jackson, and Jacqueline Smith?
Now, you might say to yourself, hey, I've heard people say this in bars my whole life. However, we did it formally on the radio, and we did it over 10 years ago.
And I really have never heard, I mean,
in the style.
I had never heard it in a bar, and I had never heard it with, and looking at the title of this book, in big, gigantic black letters, who would you
do? A whole
do?
Book, mm-hmm. based on our bet.
Mm-hmm. Who would you do?
They're fans of this show, people that have listened to this show for years that would actually be able to really zero in when we started doing that.
You might have a case if you wanted one.
And looking over your shoulder, it looks like the author put all of about 6 hours into writing the book.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Andy Reid here. I heard you talking about some tongs of some sort I might need.
How are you, Andy? Getting ready for the big season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting ready for it, all right. Got the boys in the back chow hall now eating.
That's good. All right. Fantastic.
Hello there,
fried chicken.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello, Colin Attorney, man. You guys totally have a case. Don't you have a case against that?
How long have you been listening to the show?
I've been listening for about 5 years. When I got a delivery driving job, I found you on AM. It was awesome. You make my days go by awesome.
You remember?
And I remember that. I loved it.
But you remember that we burned out on it.
Yeah, you burned out on it, but you were doing it when I started listening. I mean,
yeah, I mean, we've been doing it for a very long time. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Carla from Oakdale.
And it's not even so much that it's the concept, I mean, because it's a loosely based concept, but it's the exact phraseology.
Yeah, the words and the same rules. You got to pick somebody.
Yeah, who would you do? Either hot people or ugly people.
Same style, too.
Because some of our best who would you do's were not with really the hot girl.
Right? No, the best who would you do would be a difficult decision.
It would be like mm-hmm. Joy Behar
or Barbara Walters.
Yeah, who would you do?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's simple. I do Joy Behar.
I would do Joy Behar also.
She got less mileage on her.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz?
Yeah, all the same.
See, this is the game that we invented.
Yeah, right.
which has now been stolen.
Clearly.
Anyway, Carla, hi.
Hi, guys. Love your show.
I'm really thrown for a loop by this.
You should be.
Well, I was just going to say that Regis and Kelly talked about, and they had the book on their show on Monday, and they talked about, like, who would you do, Kelly or, who was it? I can't remember, but they put Regis up to Matt Lauer and just a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, this is what they're talking about.
That's basically a kiss-ass version of who would you do by putting Regis up against Matt Lauer. It's putting Regis in Matt Lauer's league, which is not fair.
Hello.
It's actually like putting Kelly Ripa up against Kathy Lee.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to find out, maybe it's just simple bad luck that you all didn't get to it first.
Well, now, it's pretty impossible, being as we came up with it and did it 10 years ago. And
Why didn't you write a book?
Well, you know, it's our own dumb luck. I said I don't think we've got a case, but it doesn't mean we can't be pissed off.
You can be pissed off, absolutely.
I don't know. The very fact that we did it and it was out there,
everything in the show is copyrighted by somebody, isn't it? Either
by CBS.
By the company or by you guys.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Boy, but I hate litigious stuff, though.
Yeah, you know, that's BS.
Hello.
I would not do it in a bar. I would not do it in a car. I would not do Who Would You Do? I would not do it, Cunny Sue.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike. Doc Seuss checking in. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hi.
Don?
Yeah.
Hi. Your broadcast is copyrighted.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with Don, though. I agree with Don. Let's have fun talking to her.
It's too petty.
That's legit.
Which is like the Buster Balls, though. Mm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Yes.
You guys started the whole thing, and if you elected not to do it anymore, how come you guys are upset that somebody wanted to come by and carry out the tradition?
Well, let's say that you had a real good idea and that you had a national vehicle. Of course, all of this is really fantasy, since none of this is true for you. But let's say that you had a vehicle where you could speak to millions of people a day, and you came up with something that more or less was your intellectual property, and even if you tired of it, but it was still yours, and you thought it up, and then out of the blue, someone else got a deal to make a book, and you actually got sent the book to see if you wanted to interview the author.
Wouldn't that make you feel a little unloved, sir?
Yeah, it kind of would, but I'd also think, you know, I'd get even more credit because, hey, you were the one that started it. And
you know what would be nice? If it was a mention of that at the beginning
of
the book.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I say
really not a lawsuit, but perhaps pull them off the shelves and reprint them.
An injunction.
You know, we're not...
Destroy the first edition.
Please. We're just going to
burn them.
You know.
Burn them.
I mean, what are we going to do? Rob, I know you've always liked a good book burning.
How about the book burning?
And God knows that I'm in the book, too.
Up in smoke, yeah.
But I think that we're going to just wait until we get this brought on the show.
Yeah.
And see if she has any idea.
Yeah.
And I know that somewhere back in the tapes, back in our old best of, we've got those.
Oh, yeah.
And Rob, don't we?
That would be, you know what? That would be the best thing we could do. Produce a tape from a certain year. Is that possible?
Play it.
Could be, but we lost a lot in a hurricane.
Yeah, but it's probably in there somewhere. I mean, in some of those tapes, you know, I don't have time to tell you this story. It was something, a ridiculous thing that was done one time when we worked here, too. A bunch of our best material from the last 12 years. There was a man who used to run this station. And,
Hello.
Hi, Ken. There was a man who used to run this station.
Hello.
And apparently there was somebody on one of our affiliates had complained about some segment that we had run. And Ken's way of dealing with the situation was we had just thousands of boxes of tapes. Mm-hmm. Ken's way of dealing with it was to remove all of the tapes from the radio station so that there would be no evidence that anything had ever been done. You want me to delete that out?
No.
I mean, it's...
No, I wasn't reacting to you. I'm reacting to what he did.
I mean, it's true.
It's ridiculous.
Do we know where they went?
Yeah, we do know. And the thing is, our point was in this whole thing with Ken, we didn't do anything wrong on this segment.
Right.
We were talking about a public person, and somebody called in, and we started piling on this person.
Right.
And our whole thing was, hey, well, station in Carolina got a complaint letter, BFD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ken flipped out, and he said, there could be no best-of tapes anywhere in this building. So for a whole week, every night, Charlie Broyhill's taking home a...
a trunk load of tapes. I'm taking home a trunk load of tapes.
Right.
Rob's taking home a trunk load of tapes.
Just so.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. The thing that he didn't understand is while we were getting rid of all of our show's tapes, there were other shows here whose tapes were still here.
Right.
Right. Oh, like Liddy and Howard. We had tapes on all those
Liddy
other shows.
Liddy and the Junkies.
Right. Oh, the Junkies, yeah. Right.
And he didn't think that getting rid of ours would be any different than them keeping theirs.
Yeah. So the way he thought.
So what we actually had to do was take some of these tapes and put them in our homes.
Right. So it's difficult for the archives to...
Well, then the problem is some of them were in my garage in Ocean City, and that house was hit by a tornado. So there's a large percentage of those tapes.
Damaged or destroyed.
They're gone. They're gone forever just because Ken, in his infinite wisdom, decided, and here's exactly how that day went down. We get called in. I think maybe even you didn't get called. I get called in. And he says, look at this. I got a complaint letter from the station in Carolina. Yeah? He goes, look at this. Did you really say this to this woman? I'm pretty sure we did. And he goes, why would you say that? And I said, what does it matter? She called us. This wasn't like one of those things with calling someone without their permission.
Right.
He said, we can't have this. You guys have never been fined by the FCC. We can't have this. Now, keep in mind, there was no FCC fine. The FCC wasn't involved.
Right. Right.
It was a complaint letter. Radio stations get complaint letters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this station had forwarded this complaint letter to Ken. And Ken's response was, what we're going to do from now on is just remove every bit of tape that we have on your show.
Wow.
And I said, man, you're talking about historical stuff, at least as far as we're concerned, with our
history of the show, the archives.
And he ordered us to move all the tapes out.
Amazing.
And now I think hundreds and hundreds of tapes are gone, and we'll never again hear Charlie in the picture phone.
That was one of the bits we lost.
Oh, no.
And that's a heartbreak.
What?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, Don.
Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow.
No more fish tank recap. No more PD of the week.
On the tapes we have, though, I'm sure we've got somebody doing Who Would You Do.
Yeah.
So we'll pull it up for when we have this lady on the show. And
very good.
Just enjoy busting her balls about it. We got a break. Everybody's coming in and pointing at the clock.
Yes.
And they're not telling me, oh, look, it's almost time for a Slim Fast. They're saying it's time for commercial. We'll come back and we'll start the sausage home run derby.
Yeah.
Right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why don't you take your love and shove it up your big fat ass? You know you're the reason we're through. I've got all the yelling and the fight that we had here. They won't be cold to you. You whine, you make every beef we got last. Well, I'm telling you, baby, I'm through with you. Take your love, shove it up your big fat ass.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call the Don and Mike Show anytime for free at 1-877-365-3636. But please, turn your radio down and no calls to play the name game. No Who Would You Do call. No calls about rating women. No calls asking, when are we coming to your town? And no jokes. That's 1-877-365-3636.
See?
Hey, what?
You know what happened.
Well, I'm glad someone's appreciating you now as I'm trying to drop on you today.
Right on.
Good evening, gentle persons. Here's Don and Mike.
All right, that's all the proof we could find right now.
I bet Duke could tell you when he cut that, too. Yeah. Rob, you probably have a general knowledge of when that was cut, you know?
It's got to be like mid-90s, right? Mid to late 90s?
According to my notes, 1978.
Would you stop it? Hello there, Don and Mike. We have to do a quick break in the studio before we go downstairs. Cool, it's so long in that first break. Hi, Don and Mike. Hello, speak to us.
Gentle person.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. Thank you.
I thought I was going for the idiot on hold record here. I didn't want to hang up, so I thought I'd stay with you.
I did see that you were on for 37 minutes on hold, but there are people who have been on hold longer than you.
Oh, thank God. Once the subject matter changed, I thought maybe I was just stringing along, and I didn't want to be rude and hang up, but, boy, my back teeth are floating.
Well, what can we do for you? Now you're here.
Well, I just wanted to see if Wendell Hall might be out in the backfield there, just in case you're looking at a homer. You know, nobody wants to shell out that kind of money at the station. Have him pop one out of the air like a skeet shoot.
With his gun?
With his gun.
Oh, yeah.
It does happen to hit
you
over the wall.
You waited 37 minutes for that?
Well, no. You know, I was just going to see if I was on hold long
enough. No, he's not retarded.
Maybe you got a couple people out there. If you're closer to Wisconsin, we'd be tailgating with our cheese heads on out in the parking lot waiting to cook up those brats.
Thank you, my friend.
Have fun playing with the wieners.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Go Pack.
Yeah.
Right.
Go Pack, go.
Yeah, Brett. Well, I feel bad for him. He seemed like a nice enough, bright enough guy, but what a horrible call.
He was, you know the movie A Beautiful Mind?
Yeah.
He was the Wisconsin version of that.
Oh.
Of that, that guy that, what's his name, played?
That's right, Russell Crowe.
That's him. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
ABM. Hi.
How are you guys doing? I've been listening to you guys since the WAVA days.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at ABM. Because I'm just creating my own new movie now. ABM,
what can we do for you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you guys should sue that. Can I say bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should sue that bitch for stealing your guys' bit. Well, I mean, is she going to do low-budget Jeopardy book next?
Yeah, I don't know. We're not going to sue her. We just want to book her as a guest.
And have fun. I mean, there is, and I also...
Buster balls.
You know, there is every possibility that... You know, she might truly believe that she was the first one. And she's probably going to be in a state of real shock when she hears
it. And denial. And let's face it, we never copyrighted it.
No, and you know, it to me, of a lot of things that, and I give you credit, that you've come up with, that, you know, that's one that's kind of, you know, it floats out there. And the thing that gets me is the lingo, the jargon, the who would you do.
That's fine. The totally unauthorized.
You could make love to. I'm sure people have said that for years. Yeah. Hey, if you could make love to so-and-so.
Or even if it was called which one.
Right. Which one would you want to F?
Which one.
But who would you do is, it's just wacky.
Yeah.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
It's eerie.
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Hello. How are you doing? This is Steve out of Warrington.
Hi,
y'all
there,
have
Steve.
Actually been doing that bit since 1989.
So that would be 14 years.
Yes, sir. 14 years you've been doing Who Would You Do?
Oh, that's going to sound so sweet.
Wow.
You know, to say that to her, we have been doing Who Would You Do?
Actually, we dropped it, but we had done it. It's been part of our history.
We came up with that concept 14 years ago.
But remember, you never really dropped it. You just said people couldn't call in with it.
Because
we've had it in the hopper.
We've thrown them in every month or so.
Because people loved it so much.
Right.
Just benched it.
I remember the last time we brought it back was when I saw one day on The View they didn't call it Who Would You Do, but they were doing something like it.
Right.
And I was so incensed that day that we came in and we did it.
Sure.
Just to prove that it was our bit.
Right.
Hello?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great, thank you.
Yeah, I got a suggestion. How about we find out where this author is from and find out if there's an affiliate in the area? Find out how she became so well educated on your material.
All right. Well, that's a good question, and here's the answer. And it will not help our case. Susan Segrest is a freelance writer and editor in New York City.
New York City.
Now, by the time we were on in New York, I know we had dumped Who Would You Do?
Right.
Now, I don't know if WNEW we ran any of our old shows.
Always the chance that the woman traveled, especially if she's a freelance writer.
And here you go. Hold on. She's been an editor at Cosmo, Marie Claire, Mode, and New Woman, and has written for Reader's Digest and the New York Daily News.
Hmm.
Now, here is the one point that I think works in our favor. She has also worked for a film company in London. And she has worked at the United States Senate.
Bingo, baby.
Well. Before we were
even... I stole that from the Stallion.
Before we were even syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know when she worked at the United States Senate.
Because this is where we have been for 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Correctamundo. Hello, Don and Mike. Hi.
Don.
Yeah, hi.
Maybe her next book's going to be called Toot for Loot if she was in London very long.
Toot for Loot.
Hey, I've got four words from you for you.
Yeah.
Copyright the name game. I'd hate for you guys to be going through this again in 5 years.
For the name
game.
But the name game, I can't imagine that being a book. And frankly, that
I bet you wouldn't have conceived of who would you do being a book.
But the name game is, listen, who would you do is like a fun party game. The name game, after a short amount of time, you just burn out on it too fast, don't you?
Yeah.
Or maybe we did because we'd be challenged all the time by people.
It burns, like George burns.
All right, go, Buzz. Give us a name.
Well, let's start with George.
George Bush.
George Plimpton.
George Bush Sr.
George Harrison.
George of the Jungle.
George Hamilton.
George McFly.
Boy George.
Georgie Porgy, putting in pie. George Clooney.
Jeff George. Are we doing first name Georges?
Yes, George. Yeah.
Do we do George Washington? I don't think so.
No.
George
but,
Washington, George Washington Carver.
Brian Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael. George Michael the singer. Both George Michael.
Okay.
Both.
So you're two ahead of me. George Foreman.
All of George Foreman's sons.
Cheating.
Devin.
No, because I got George Foreman. You wouldn't accept that from me.
No, I would. I'm busting you both.
You're one
George up. George Jetson.
You're two up.
George Brett.
You're king of the Georges.
Wow.
I'm going to give it to you.
King of the
Georges. When you get three ahead on the name game, it's usually the time for the other person to...
That's how you do the name game.
Good addition.
And I was starting the whole Burns game. You know, I was going to go Ken Burns, Ed Burns,
Montgomery Burns...
Alan Burns, that's a guy we know. That wouldn't be
fabulous.
Yeah. Boy, your skills are razor sharp, Sahib.
As are yours.
You know, it's been a long time since we've played it.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Do you guys remember a few years ago when David Letterman left NBC to go to CBS? He wasn't allowed at first to do his top 10 list.
It was a whole intellectual property thing. And they wouldn't let him have the name of the show.
They still enforce that. They call it the top 10 now instead of the top 10 list because NBC owns top 10 list. So Dave's
just
top 10.
Yeah, and you know, here's the deal. If we got litigious about this, which is ridiculous in my mind.
And we're not going to do it.
We're not. We would no intention.
We're just going to get this woman on the phone and just tear her to pieces.
Scare her.
The fact is, it wouldn't be any money coming to us. It wouldn't be money coming to our company.
It's CBS.
Yeah.
What are you kidding?
All right, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And they don't need any more money.
Right.
No, they don't. They'll just hire more regional vice presidents. Hello, Don and Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, it's a live guy from Vegas.
Blind Glenn.
How you doing?
You're not from Vegas, are you?
Yes, he is.
He is from Vegas. Okay, I'm glad I remember you.
Hi, Blind Glenn.
Yes. Hey, Don.
Yeah.
A couple of things real quick, all right?
Yes, sir.
Number one, are you still on your diet?
Oh, am I? Yeah, I lost 63 pounds.
Me too. I started one on Monday. I drank a Slim Fast for breakfast and lunch. And
you have lost 63 pounds since Monday?
No. I just started Monday.
How big are you, blind guy?
I was 350.
How would you know?
Because I got on the scales of the doctor's office.
Ah!
Or did you get a talking scale?
So how do you know the doctor's
office? I have a talking scale, too. They won't go that high, Buzz.
But I see.
And the other thing, Don, did you hear about the... Rush Limbaugh, going to do some football.
Yes, Blind Glenn. I hate to chastise you because God has already punished you.
Yes, he has.
But we've covered that on the show. I must disconnect this conversation now. We don't go backwards on this show.
You were nice and gentle with him. God has already punished you. Yes, Reverend.
Oh, God.
Man.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, gentlemen.
Howdy.
Hey, I was commenting about that woman that you're talking about. Why don't you guys get her on the phone and just ream her a new a-hole?
I believe I said we're going to do something similar to that. We're going to not ambush her, but we're going to get her on and then just say, hey, you know, hey, honey, this is a great book.
Any chance that guy was calling from Sacramento?
I know.
Guessing.
I was thinking the same thing. Let's have a fight. Go ahead and be mean, because I hate life. And I wish I was somebody else. Oh, that gives me the chance. I should mention, Rob and I will be in Sacramento. I'm paying off a bet with Mike.
Yes.
This Saturday at Club Aqua in Citrus Heights. Now, I don't want everybody in Sacramento to be disappointed. It's not like when Mike and I come out and we do...
a Las Vegas-style show.
Right, it's not a show.
We don't do those anywhere anymore.
Right.
Because we had too many problems with the cops. As people in Sacramento remember, when we were out there 4 or 5 years ago, we had 13,000 people show up at that place, and there was sex and nudity. It was great, but it was about as far as we could go with those shows.
Right.
I'm just going to say hi to everybody. It's very low-key. It's what Mike and I do now.
It's called a meet and greet.
Right. So, you know, don't expect, I mean, unless you absolutely just want to heave your bosom at me,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't expect, I'm not going to be the one orchestrating that.
Right. But go ahead. I mean, you're not going to exactly frown if somebody heaves their bosom at you.
No.
If it's a woman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I want to teach you a new version of the name game.
Pardon me?
I want to teach you a new version of the name game.
Teach us a new version, okay.
All right. Okay, you start with a name. Say George Washington.
George Washington.
And then the next person's name has to start with a W, because Washington started with a W.
See ya.
That's not an original idea. That game has been played before. I've done that game.
So have I. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
And it's not the letter, it's the name.
Hello?
Hey, I won a bust balls earlier, but you guys forgot Curious George.
Now listen.
Now, that's not fair.
No. This is one of the reasons we had to drop the name game, because we'd play it. And then some guy like you would always call up, and it's always easy to be a Monday morning quarterback.
Well, and what it is this gentleman, sir, you are a cheater.
All right,
that's very easy to sit on your ass and call later.
All right, Buzz, give us a name, and we'll play with this guy right now.
Okay,
now,
it's gonna
go. Shoot.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
The name is David.
David Letterman.
David Susskind.
David and the Giants.
What?
What?
There's a band.
Obscure.
Nobody knows. Come up with somebody that we know.
David Silveria, drummer for Korn.
David Brinkley.
David Blaine.
David Hayline.
David Hayline. These guys you work with. David Copperfield.
David Spade.
Jonathan and David. David in the Bible Times.
David from the Bible. David Lee Roth.
David and Goliath.
I already said David and Goliath.
No, I didn't hear you say
David
that.
And Jonathan is the same David as David and Goliath.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, that doesn't count.
All right, I'll give Mike one.
Dave Mason.
It's got to be a David, though.
David Mason.
Yeah. Got to be a David.
Do I get to David and Goliath or not? I don't know whether I get that or not.
Robbie?
I say yeah, because of your specificness. I mean, there was more than one David in the Bible.
Yes. Okay.
David in the Bible time.
So now it's your turn again.
David. I have a brother-in-law named David.
Doesn't count.
All right, there you go. And Don, since he would make a claim, because I use David and Goliath.
David Dupree, famous basketball writer for USA Today.
David also, Boston, famous also, ball player.
Also David Robinson from the San Antonio Spurs.
David Robinson, there you go.
So, feel dumb enough yet?
David Henderson.
That's Dave.
Not a David.
So how do you feel now?
Huh? I feel, dude. Hey, Don.
Unaffected.
Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, what the...
Oh,
when you come into Sacramento, what's the...
Is that where you're calling from?
Huh?
Is that where you're calling from?
No, I'm calling from Modesto.
Well, that's close enough.
Same thing. Have fun.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What gate are you coming in?
Gate 21.
Oh, okay. I was going to shake my bosom at you.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. Now, what have we learned about the name game here, huh?
You guys are king of the name game.
Well, that's right. Nice.
Oh, well.
There you go. Thank Radio you. God.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Later.
I just said, what have we learned? Man, I hope I get sued.
Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Argumentative Simpleton.
Okay, when we come back, we're going downstairs for the Sausage Home Run Derby Battle-Off.
Yay. Somebody throw a copyright on that pretty soon.
See who can knock one out of the park. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm the happiest son of a bitch in the world. And that son of a bitch who writes under that Daily News, that fucking guy they call the fucking nose, who says that me jumping up and down is horse shit. You ought to let him feel like I have. Who the fuck is that sucker anyway? Some fucking guy that writes with a New York Daily News called the fucking nose. He says, was sort of jumping up and down. That's the fucking way I feel when my team wins. And if I want to jump up and down when my f***ing team wins, and if I want to hug my f***ing players when they f***ing do good, I'm going to do it. I don't give a shit What the f*** are those says?
We're on. The Don and Mike
Show. That gravy dog, the Don and Mike Show.
Damn straight, we're out here. We're out on beautiful Oak Street.
What a beautiful day it is here in Fairfax, Virginia. This is terrific.
And we're ready for the festivities, Mike. As you can see in front of me, the pitcher's plate.
Pitcher's plate.
The batter's box.
Oh, it looks regulation.
Now, look at how far it is to hit one of these sausages.
All right, it's official. Nobody will be able to hit it over the fence.
I don't think so. I don't think anyone's going to hit it to the spot where it says, caution, your car must be so-and-so to get under this thing.
I really think it's going to be tough to even make it to where all our sound equipment is down here. I just don't think it's going to happen. Of course, there's technique involved, and once the first person goes, you'll be able to figure out exactly how to do it.
But this is a timely, wacky bit as you look at 20 smoked sausages.
They look tasty, and they're pre-cooked, as Rob said. So for anybody that's really, really hungry, come down and, you know, scrape them off the ground and eat them.
And Charlie is going to be the pitcher. We've got and Charlie, be a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
We have a celebrity in our midst, which is very exciting. And for those of you that follow baseball, we have a Red Sox closer, Sung Young Kim, is here. Red Sox closer, Sung Young Kim, is here. Sung, how you doing?
That's actually Byung Hyun Kim.
Byung Hyun, whatever the hell it is. All right.
Same difference. Same difference.
What is it? Byung Hyung Kim? All right, Sung Young King. All right, very good.
Sung Young Guy.
Sung Young
Cream of Sung Young guy.
Right.
Okay, there's fellas, come on, we're doing a radio show here. Make some noise, please. Let you know that we're not alone down here. We have the parking lot blocked off, and I believe we're ready to start.
Now, Charlie Broyhill, you're going to be doing the pitching. Is that true? Very good. Charlie will be doing the pitching.
Mike, you and I will be doing the commentary.
Very good.
And I believe we have runners down here just in case any of the sausages go over the fence.
Don, I think this would be a very nice place to stand for the observance. Oh, there's a baby crying.
Want to mention that to the right of us is a residence, so we're going to try very hard to get our hitters not to pull to the right. If anything, if you pull it to the left, our office is...
At 10800 Main Street.
Our office is right here, right? With the... Oh.
See where Mr. Queen is. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, who turned the lights on in our office? Who's on it?
Who's in there?
Who's in our office?
Oh, man, you cannot beat that missionary position.
Who's in our office? Is that our office?
No, that can't be.
This one right here?
No.
No, it's right to the left of that.
Oh, I was looking... You're right. Okay, I see. I see. Okay.
Wait a minute. There is a naked... Tim McWilliams, get out of our office. He's squatting on the desk.
All right, now, Mike, do you and I get the fun of trying it first?
Absolutely. I think that would be fun. You want to go first?
Sure. I don't think there's a chance I'm going to hit it. I don't think there's a chance. And we can reuse sausages.
All right, Don, let me hold your microphone. Don's going to take a swing at the sausage right now. Charlie's hand is going to smell like smoked sausage by the end of the day. Huh? I think it depends on how it comes down.
Like every day.
I've seen you bat before. Why am I standing here? Oh!
Oh, man, debris everywhere.
You did it. You did it. That's good.
Was it
hard to hit?
No.
And,
How far did my biggest piece went behind me. How far did the longest one go, the longest piece that I hit? Charlie, we're going to get the news now.
Don.
How far? 34.8.
Don, you made outstanding contact with that.
All right,
I'm very pleased.
Mike is much more seasoned at this than I am. I bet he does much better.
I don't know. The pressure's on now.
And, you know, with all the people here, everyone may not get a turn because, Charlie, God knows, if a weakling like me can destroy this sausage, some of these guys who can really hit.
You know what would be good?
Oh.
Whoa!
Wow. See, Mike did me about 3 feet better. Mike's went.
Don had 34 feet 8 inches.
45.4.
I think we have established the fact that you can actually make contact and send a fragment, but it's the size of the fragment as well as the distance, too, right?
What would be ideal is if someone could bring down some dogs.
Really, if you've got a dog, that would be perfect. Bring your dogs down. Always a nice excuse.
Let's get the people in the order that they signed up today. Where's Chris H.? Stand up, please. Chris H. Hey, Chris, where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia, Drexel University.
You drive down here from Philly?
Yep, that's right.
Really?
Yeah,
that's great. Listening on WYSP. Are you a righty or a lefty?
Righty.
All right, here's your bat. Get into the batter's box. Now remember, we will pay you $10 a foot, and there's a chance you win a trip on Southwest Airlines as well.
All right, okay. Do it for Drexel, baby. Do it for all the people at Drexel.
You only get one swing.
All right, here we go. Here it comes.
Oh. Whoa! And that one is all over the place.
Now, we're going to have to maintain our line of sight to make sure we know where this stuff goes.
Look,
did we get a fragment? Let's
like
not...
on CSI, you know how they have cones?
Right.
We have little cones that we're marking the spots with. Lawrence. Charlie, what is it?
44 and three quarters.
44 and three quarters. Give them a nice round of applause.
And if I could just ask the if any of them come in this direction, if you could make a human shield. That's my car is parked the closest.
I have Don's car.
Tony L. Here we go.
Oh, Mike, it's the Chinese.
Byung Hung. Tony, I always mess his name up. What is it again? The closer's name is Byung?
Byung
Hyun Kim.
It's the Chinaman in the Red Sox uniform.
Are you China or are you Korea?
Korean.
You're a Korean. I love the Korean people. I truly do.
He's got this beautiful Red Sox jersey, and I guess his back is itchy, and he was using the greasy bat. What kind of stain does he have on that?
Let's take a look.
Robbie's got, he has sausage all over his back.
Now,
all right, well,
now, what is your real name again?
Tony Ling.
Tony Ling, I'm rooting for Tony, because Tony's wearing a full Boston Red Sox uniform.
Hey, ba-da-ba-da. Oh, bye-bye.
Oh, wow. Wait, we got one over here.
Flattering.
We got one over here.
Tony, I'm sorry if I made you laugh.
Don't worry about it.
But Don, it has traveled all the way past the audio equipment that we have here.
We have a new leader.
It's our furthest piece for Tony.
Oh, I got some in my hair. We have a new leader.
3 inches.
50 feet, 3 inches. Let's hear it for the Korean Nightmare. Way to go. All right.
Robbie, Davey, who's our next contestant?
Patrick, yeah.
Patrick. Patrick, obviously you work for Starbucks?
Yes, that's true.
Right on which one?
Actually, I'm a service technician. I work all over the area.
So you fix coffee machines?
I fix the coffee machines.
Do they give you free coffee at all the Starbucks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. All right.
How come sometimes, I know you get asked this all the time, but how come sometimes you're driving down a road and there's like five Starbucks, you could spit on one from the other one? How come that is?
That's all corporate decisions. I don't know. But we all make money.
All right, do you look like you have pierced ears? Do you wear your earrings when you're repairing your coffee machine?
I haven't worn them in years.
You haven't worn them in years, all right.
Do you have a sausage blend?
No.
Get up to the plate and do this now for, we're on in Seattle, so do this for Ichiro.
So far, Charlie Broyhill doing an excellent job hurling the sausage. Oh, ow, are you all right? Are you okay?
Don's been hit by the bat. Hit by the bat.
Oh.
It didn't.
Did that make contact on your hand or did it hit the microphone?
No, my hand.
Your hand? What part did it hit?
These two fingers.
Really? We've done broadcasts where you've had bad luck with your fingers before.
Well, you know, someone's got to stand up by the batter and get the sound.
Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Don saying the F word.
I didn't mean to.
That was, wow. You know, the last time we had anything like that is when you got your hand caught in the door.
God damn, that hurts.
Those hands are not meant to endure any kind of punishment. No. They're delicate hands.
These are very dove-like hands.
They're wrong sausages.
All right. Did he whiff?
Yeah.
You know, with all your agony, Sean whiffed, but he hit Don.
The guy, I'm standing right, the thing is I had the microphone pointed right at where he was swinging.
Once again, you were sacrificing yourself for the show. I was standing near Charlie Broyhill where there's no appreciable sound.
That's all right.
I thought he would make contact with the sausage.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Buzz.
Get on the other side of the batter.
Well, I don't think I'm going to have
a
problem
with
this guy. Are
you a switch hitter? Or did you just have trouble figuring out which side you were going to bat from?
Great at deliverance.
Say hello, everybody, to Bobby Hill. Hi, what's your name?
Joseph.
Joseph, where are you from?
Right here in Annandale, Fairfax.
Son, you can't make contact if you don't know which side of the damn plate to stand on.
I went onto the bus in third grade to listen to you guys on WAVA.
Have you ever played sports?
Take a look at me. Thank God.
Okay, well, good.
As long as he's wearing a sports bra, we're all set. I'm kidding. I'm a fat guy, too. I can make that joke.
Good luck. Here we go.
I can make that joke. Oh, he nicked it.
It's
good. We get to use the sausage again. Come on.
Thank you.
And incidentally, much like a baseball crowd, I want this crowd to react like a baseball crowd, okay? Like with the oohs and the ahs, you know? Like if he whiffs, a big woo or a boo, you know? Really
wow,
get right.
That has got to be maybe a low point in someone's life that you can't hit a sausage.
We got two guys that whiffed on the sausage. Who's next?
Brent. Hi, Brent.
How's it going, man?
How's it going?
Where are you from?
Douglas Fairfax.
What do you do?
I'm home for summer. Student.
Something tells me that this Guido has the chance of knocking it the furthest.
He seems to have an athletic quality about him.
Just to reset this
gorgeous.
For anyone listening, these guys are being pitched sausages, kielbasa sausages.
Right.
They're hitting them with an aluminum bat.
And you have broken your finger today on the show.
Although, look, it is semi-discolored.
Yeah. That right there, I can see where they hit it. It's going to be black and blue.
All right, we're ready on Charlie Broyhill on the pitcher's mound.
All right, Don, get down there, get close with that.
You get one swing, Guido. Let's go.
Whoa, we have a new winner.
Farthest yet.
We got it right here. Fireworks show.
I got one right here.
Yes, some polite applause, please.
Wow,
got a champ.
That really traveled, and there's a big chunk that traveled too.
81 feet, 3.5 inches.
The cones are cracking me up. And I would urge our listening audience here in Fairfax and in Washington, D.C. area, bring your dogs down because there is smoked sausage all over the parking lot. The dogs will have a field day. Bring your hounds down here.
Rob, who's next?
We need Sean M. And did you realize this was going to turn into like a $1,000 contest?
You know, that's right. If we're paying $10 a foot.
Yeah, now remember, if there's a tie or it's the largest chunk that travels, but really this has turned into just the chunk that travels the
furthest. Sean, hi, where are you from?
I'm from Fairfax.
Thank you, Charles.
Play any ball, son?
Back in the day.
What do you do now?
I go to Mason.
Son, are you gonna wear the cool shades for your batting, or are you gonna take them off?
Got
huh?
To.
Gotta wear the cool shades. All right.
George Mason, also known as 13th grade. Remember now that the reason we're doing this is that the pitch ball bat. That hit the guy with
right,
the woman
the
in the sausage suit.
Right, and you've got a workman's comp issue now.
I do.
Very
and we
good.
Are ready for you from Virginia ACC. Here we go. Ah!
What happened to
well, I'm
you?
I'm standing so close.
All right, now keep your eyes on these. We're measuring.
Where'd that one go, Buzz?
This is the furthest piece right here at 41 feet 4 inches.
41 feet no, 4 inches.
Nothing to be ashamed of. Who's next, Robbie? Michael M., step up. You want to remove that cell phone, or you feel comfortable swinging with a cell phone?
I don't think it's going to mess up my swing too bad.
All right, where are you from?
Herndon.
What do you do?
Purchasing manager.
And did you play ball?
Yeah, a little bit, but softball in the day.
All right. Well, Mike, why is Rob...
Rob, being the people hater that he is, was basically making fun of this guy.
What's wrong with this guy?
Huh? I think he was making little guy comments. That's what he was making.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
All right, Charlie, are you ready to pitch?
God.
All right.
You know, it's nice to get out here in the public so people can see how Rob behaves in the studio each and every day.
Prove him wrong in your hard shoes.
All right, here we go. Oh, that way, that traveled.
Oh, it hit Don's car.
Don, we have damage to the car.
Hit Don's car.
We have a piece of sausage that got on your car.
Disqualification. Immediate disqualification. All right, counting my car, how far did it go?
And it's
do we have it? Do we have it up here? How far did it go? Anyone?
Oh, it's right by my tire.
All right. What do we have?
And Lisa.
It's not going to come close to the longest one.
49 feet, 8 inches.
Not bad at all.
Not a winner. Thank you, though. Remember, if that guy had one, he would win.
Charlie, you're doing a great job with the pitching today.
Freaking dollars. Robbie, who's next?
Anthony B. Come on down.
Anthony B.
Anthony. Hey, Anthony. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
You must be a painter?
Tile guy.
Tile guy.
Hey, you know what? You know, that's the only part of our bathrooms that are being remodeled and that they're not doing.
Yeah.
They're not doing the tile.
We can
and that's
tile.
The only part that really needed it.
It's
I'm sorry,
gross.
Tommy, if you're listening, you're not going to do anything by changing the wallpaper when the tile looks like somebody BM'd on it.
Anthony, you play any softball, baseball?
Yeah, I play softball.
Hey, this guy seems confident. Move back.
All right, very good. Let's
Move
see what
back,
Anthony
and
can do.
Get ready for the splatter factor.
The great tradition
the
of
sausage comes
Italian
at approximately 3 miles an hour.
Joe DiMaggio, here we go.
Wow.
Oh. Oh.
Wow.
Oh, no,
Oh, my God, a baby has been struck in the head by sausage. Oh, my God.
It's going to be a lawsuit.
Ma'am, are you all right?
Yes.
Please don't sue us.
We have to.
Is your baby okay?
Yes.
How far did it go?
Here's the piece right over there.
Oh, right on the lady with the baby.
Is it?
Oh, here we go. And the mark, Lisa, is?
47 feet exactly.
The mother has informed me the baby will eat the sausage, so we're okay.
47.
Oh, the sausage that would landed on her.
Yes.
Sausage on the ground.
Dad is feeding the baby sausage off the ground. All right.
We're going to break for a second here, Rob. This excitement is at a fever pitch right now.
Bring your drives down. Don't forget to bring your dogs down.
I tell you, this is at a fever pitch. I just think we should... How many sausages we got left, Charlie? Hold on, we're counting.
Oh, we got tons of... 10 drops.
We got 10 left.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4,
5, 6, 7, 8.
7 people signed up, so we have room for 3 more.
3 more. If you want to come down here, you can still get into the action.
Bring it up.
Well, if you guys can wait, what I'd like to do then is go inside, do a break, right, and come back outside for the big finale of this.
And in the meantime, maybe we can get some hound dogs down here to clean up our parking lot.
That's, we're very serious about this. If you have a dog...
Lisa, I'm not sure how to interpret Ask Miss Bobby with a... Oh, she has a dog.
She brings her dog to work.
That's right.
Now, here's what Charlie was born for. Look at him walking around with all this meat in his hands. And we have a big pile. We're leaving it for dogs.
Yeah.
Charlie was going to put the... He was going to put it in a garbage can. Let's keep it, really, for some dogs.
Yeah. Well, listen, also, if the dogs don't eat it, I'll take it home. Hello, Loudon Fairfax Ambulance. All right, very good.
All right, you guys, you're great. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a second.
You know the neat thing?
What?
The neat thing is they had a dying person in the back of that ambulance.
But they stopped to say hi.
Aren't they great?
Nice. Outside with the sausage home run derby, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
They have the best radio show on the radio. Don and Mike.
You know, I don't think we're doing an adequate job when we're out there describing the explosion that is happening when these guys, us included, hit these sausages.
It splatters.
That they are flying into a million pieces.
Yes, they explode in fragments of the sausage, much like, you know, body parts, if there was an explosion, fly everywhere.
And in a lot of cases, there's more sausage going behind the batter than there is in front of the batter.
And I couldn't help but overhear you during the break, and... You're not saying this because you're being a tough guy, but you really think you broke your finger?
I think so.
Oh, my God. You do that a lot, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second time you've broken your... Yeah, I do it on purpose, bud.
No, I know you don't do it on purpose. It just happens to you a lot.
I do it on purpose. No, just stand out there with a microphone.
Yeah. And if it still hurts like hell, as you weren't telling us, but you told your wife, there is a distinct possibility you have... Like broken the tip of your finger.
Wow. Yep.
And that happens, you know, you're getting older and your hair is getting gray and your bones are getting brittle. Why you must have your potassium.
So anyway, but I'll tough it out. Don't worry about me, fellas.
Way to be a tough guy, Don.
But your button-pushing finger?
It is one of the button-pushing fingers, but fortunately I have a couple others that are working fine.
Okay, good.
I'll be okay. And I always got this one right here.
I hate it when those instruments are damaged, though.
This baby right here. This thumb is okay. but you guys listening on the radio, and maybe it's our fault that we were coming up and I was telling the guys in the elevator that we really should do a better job of describing the pageantry that we're seeing when these things explode.
You mean we're not doing our Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade job?
I mean, it's not just guys hitting sausages, because what's happening is when the guys make contact with the sausages with the baseball bat, these things are exploding into hundreds of pieces.
Yeah, and the better the hit, the more they explode, and the further certain fragments travel.
So anyway, we're going to be up here for a second, and then we've got what do we got today, a Judy Jew?
Yeah, we do, as a matter of
fact. We have a Judy Jew coming up, and then we're going to go back down and finish this thing up. I think we had room for 3 more people. Oh, it's Craig Wilson Day.
Wonderful.
And not necessarily the best, but not bad from today's newspaper. Very timely.
Yeah, I'm weary now.
So from today's USA Today.
Third, by Craig Wilson.
It's really not much of a midsummer classic.
Just last night, Major League Baseball played its annual All-Star game in Chicago. At a ballpark named for a cellular phone, no less. I guess all the people waving to the TV cameras were on their cell phones, waving home to loved ones.
I wouldn't know. I didn't watch the game.
But my partner, Jack, does love a good old-fashioned split-fingered fastball. And is a semi-neurotic Baltimore Orioles fan. So despite my decided indifference, I attempted to watch this spectacle with him. He asked me who Mr. October was, and I replied, the Halloween jack-o'-lantern. Much put off by my lack of knowledge, he had to tell me that the moniker belonged to Reggie Jackson. Was he in the Jackson 5, I asked? Apparently, this was not a time for joking as the game was on and nothing could stop the impending seriousness that came along with it. So into the kitchen for some buttery goodness, courtesy of Orville Redenbacher, then back in the easy chair for the great American pastime. Except the game isn't even on yet. There's a very loud baseball show on roughly 40 minutes before the game. I say loud because the announcers were yelling to be heard. What with the roar of the crowd. Why are they yelling, I ask? Jack simply put a finger to his lips and gave me the universal sign for shh.
Actually, it was quite an extravaganza. A beautiful fireworks display, a gigantic American flag, and a wonderful rendition of our national anthem. All while cleverly placed commercials for upcoming episodes of Paradise Hotel danced on and off the screen. There were men discussing how fast this guy could throw and how far this fella could hit. There were spirited discussions about velocity, wind shear, foul balls, and even the potential for stray birds to land right on the field of play.
That's when it all went bad for me. I asked Jack a simple question.
At least I thought it was.
Why are they all wearing different uniforms? You would have thought I would have asked him the meaning of life, or to explain the theory of relativity. But I listened intently as he explained that this is what makes the great game of baseball so unique.
Since all the teams are represented, each uniform was a way of saying to the fans,
hey, here we are!
And we're wearing the same jackets you see us wear at our home stadium.
Actually, I found it a bit confusing. I understood that there were two leagues, the American and the National, but how do you tell them apart? I decided to root for the teams based solely on their uniforms. I can now tell you without hesitation.
Oops, hold on. Reset, please.
And now back to the final word.
Hi, Craig Wilson.
Let me see. Oh, I can tell you without hesitation, I'm a fan of both the Montreal Expos and the St. Louis Cardinals. They are both in the National League. I don't care for the wardrobes of the Florida Marlins or the Anaheim Angels. But I do like the movie Angels in the Outfield, starring Danny Glover and Tony Danza. No offense, Mr. Danza, but Mr. Glover is the boss, at least in that picture.
As I tried to pass this information to Jack, he seemed annoyed with me. And the more I tried to root for the home team, even though there was no home team, the higher the volume would go up. I was getting a message loud and clear.
You don't need to throw a foul ball at me to get your point across. I told Jack to enjoy himself, and I retired to the den for the evening. Then I channel surfed. I found a reality show with people going on blind dates, and another one with Simon from American Idol, also with young singles looking for love. Our dog, Murphy, traitor that he is, Stayed in the family room with a bigger screen and the baseball. Not to mention the calories of buttered popcorn.
If I was going to fly solo, it wasn't going to be on an empty stomach. Goodbye, Reggie. Hello, Ben and Jerry. With a bowl of Cherry Garcia in my lap, I eventually settled in with the Cartoon Network. And wouldn't you know it? It was the Flintstones episode where Fred tries to play for the Bedrock Yankees.
It was 1, 2, 3 strikes, and I was out. Not at the old ball game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Craig. Interesting. Craig Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
USA Today. Now the big pause. Now, do we have the question as to whether it's real or not?
Yes.
Okay. I think you wrote it.
Buzz.
I think you wrote it. Rob.
I abstain.
Because you know who wrote it, right, Rob?
Or it could be from the paper. Or Joe.
Or it could be Rob.
I will tell you that both myself, Joe, and Rob have all written ones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be from today's paper.
Right.
And if you're a person who actually reads the paper goes online, don't play.
Right. Not fair.
Because then you know if it was real or not.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yeah, I want to tell them that that's not the column for today.
And that's because you went on the web or bought...
Yeah, on the internet.
Right, so you're exactly the type of person that we asked not to call.
Mr. Helper. Now you've kind of ruined it.
Oh.
You've ruined the suspense now.
I didn't know. I thought I was going to be screened.
Well, we take unscreened calls. I guess we should screen our calls. do you want to just say your mom's a whore and end this?
Yeah, my mom's a whore.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Going way out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that was totally Don, man.
Okay, that's another vote for me. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, how you doing?
Okay.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
That was Mike O'Mara.
There's a vote for Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Wild card. We've not even mentioned Mike's name, but
right.
Wild card. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, you guys, yeah, I think that Joe wrote it.
It's a vote for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Rob wrote it.
Rob wrote it.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that was Rob.
That was Rob. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I think that Joe wrote it.
That's a Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Yep, that was Don.
That was me. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, I could tell it wasn't from the paper, from the two-fisted ball move or whatever you said. Dude, that's got to be Robbie.
It's Robbie.
All right, I'll call it for Rob.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I say it was Don.
All right, thanks. Two more calls, then we'll end this. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that was real. That was if I wrote that.
All right, thank you. Obviously, a guy who hadn't heard that it wasn't in the newspaper today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I got a vote for Don and a vote to have a Craig Wilson interview or a segment every day. You guys make me laugh every time you guys talk like
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, my friend. That's it. So now let's get the final votes. Mike?
You.
Buzz?
You.
I vote for Rob.
Well, you know who wrote it.
That's right.
And can I vote?
Yes.
I say it's from next week's paper.
No, it's from me.
You wrote it.
Yay.
Well done.
It's from me.
Both of you both get tremendous kudos.
Very much in his style.
You're right. It's from me.
I mean, really well done. I mean, you guys do a good job with this. You know what your tip? Because it wouldn't have been the TV, because you put in the stuff that you know a lot about, like you put in the TV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that tipped it for me was let me see. I can't count, but we have Jack. Jack is featured in 1, 2, 3, 4.
But I purposely didn't put his mother in.
I know.
That's true.
But because he would never refer to Jack that many times. That was my thought process. Mm-hmm. And then at the end,
unless he really did have a fight with Jack.
And then when it went on to the detail about what was on, and he said, then I channel surfed. I said, well, that's what you would do.
That's true.
It was the combination of the channel surfing and the Jack in there. But I did like you throwing in Murphy there.
Yeah, you know, since we're sort of at a crossroads with our relationship with Craig, because Cheryl spoke to him.
Right.
at the Pride festivals downtown, I'd love to send our columns that we've done the past 2 weeks to him and get his thoughts. Do you think he would take it in a bad way?
No.
Why don't you email
them? Why don't you email them to him?
Great idea.
We've got one that Joe wrote as well.
Yeah.
Someday we'll get to that one.
Very good.
I don't want to say what it's about.
No.
It's a great topic,
don't
though.
Spoil it.
It's a good topic, but the more I read it, the more I think it's just so overtly over the top with the phrases that Joe used.
Right.
That you're going to know that it's a fake.
Hmm.
But I love the layout, and I think we've really nailed making it
both
look
of
real.
You, I mean, I don't know until you know how it's there. You've captured the style, and you do a good job on these, really.
I think
you're in the wrong business.
I think the proof of this pudding is Craig Wilson really is not a very good writer.
Yeah.
That if we can take what
or
he does.
Maybe you guys are better than you think you are.
Mimic what he does. Anyway, his column today just blew.
Yeah, the first tip also was buttery goodness.
Well,
buttery goodness was
sorry,
because that's like buttery moccasins, which was one of our favorites.
Yeah, but I thought he might go back to it.
I know. No, it was not. It really. I'll tell you what gets me is the way you guys both have written these now. And it is you've so duplicated his style.
Sentence structure, paragraph.
It's phenomenal. It really is.
That's because he's a remedial writer.
Mike,
would you like your USA Today now, incidentally?
Yes, I'd love it, yeah. Incidentally, you know, here's the ruse. I mean, guys, just tell me we're doing Craig Wilson, and that's why, you know, we don't have it. Don't Rob makes up an elaborate lie. You know, it's, I guess it just didn't come today.
He likes
to
practice.
Don't do that to me again. Thank you very much. Tell me we're doing Craig Wilson, and you don't want me to see it.
It's all part of the game.
Right?
I mean, Craig game.
The grand game.
Because really, it makes me, you know, it makes me get all, like, buttery.
Where's his thing for today? Because today he was just...
Because now, you know, now I'm just going to go to the 7-Eleven on Wednesday.
No, you're not. He's just the worst. Because today it was, in these pages, reasons to rejoin and rejoice. It was about a high school reunion, you know.
Was he the chairman of the decorating committee?
There's no good stuff like that. There's nothing good. There's nothing good in this column this week. He totally is not delivering, and he's forcing us to write the material now for him.
I really do feel that he's going to deliver soon, though. I mean, you can only hold back so long.
Well, Rob, why don't you email him that stuff we wrote?
I will. I'll do it tonight.
And see if we get a response from him. And anyway, that's great. Now,
I'll drop Cheryl's name. I think that might pave the way a bit.
We'll do one more fake bit, although this is one that everyone knows is fake.
Yes.
This is we love doing Jew to Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Jew to Jew set up today.
Very good.
And the setup is that it is a husband and wife team who used to do morning radio together. And they've written a book about shock radio. And are they against shock radio, Rob?
No, they're just reporting.
They're reporting on shock radio, according to, well, I'm not going to say their names now. But when we get them on the air, they've written a book called True Radio Horror Stories. And they've collected some of the more shocking shock radio experiences. And here on Jew to Jew, as you know, we're opposed to anything that is slightly controversial.
Well, we'd like it really to be, what is your motive? Are you trying to sell books? What is your editorial position?
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Yep, that's coming up. And then we'll go back down for more of the sausage thing. So
more sausage.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Hebrew sausage. Well, it's summertime, as Will Smith sang. And everyone's bouncing. He didn't sing this part, but everyone's bouncing from one place to another. If you switch to Singular Wireless, it's easy to keep in touch with the whole family, no matter where they are.
Right now, Singular offers a great buy one, get one free deal on the coolest phone available. Buy one Nokia 3560 color phone for just $29.99 and get a second one free after $50 instant rebates and 2-year service agreements. Buy one, get one free wireless phones. What could be cooler than that?
Keep your family connected. It actually says that. HMMMM. Keep your family connected. By switching to Singular Wireless for home delivery, call Singular at 1-866-SINGULAR. Go to singular.com or visit a Singular Wireless store. Remember, that's 1-866-SINGULAR.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
Don and Mike, WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yo. Yo.
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a fucking gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, you do.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting in black and white as an Infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now listen, even as we speak, there's an unruly mob down in our parking garage.
Yeah, covered with sausage.
This whole thing, the sausage home run derby.
Man, it was one of my dumber ideas, but it's really turned out pretty well.
That'll be a book someday.
We're going to go down in the next break and get 10 more people to see who can hit a sausage the furthest.
Cool.
And as we explained, if you just get in your car and you didn't hear that when we were at downstairs before, these sausages, when they get hit with the baseball bat,
they're exploding.
Yeah, and I think that we're paying $10 a foot.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, we're going to throw in the Southwest Airlines trip today
right.
to the winner. The guy who's in the lead right now hit his sausage 81 feet,
right.
which means $810.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
$10 a foot. So stay tuned, sports fans. We're combining all of this stuff. The Pirates player that hit the mascot, the sausage mascot, the home run derby, the all-star game, all of it. We're going downstairs in a second, and I'm going to try very hard to keep my composure as we get ready for our favorite segment, Jew to Jew. Remember, laughing wrecks the bit.
I'll try to remember.
I hope you do.
I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and you're getting ready to listen to Jew to Jew.
Now, today we're going to be calling Joy Gridnick. She has some thoughts on shock radio. Buzz, when I put the line down,
yes.
we'll need your cue.
All right.
And say it's Jew to Jew with Donald and Michael.
Very good.
Is everyone ready? Places everyone?
Ready.
Michael?
I'm ready, Dr. Goldstein, whenever you are.
And Buzz, here we go.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew, starring Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Now, here's Dr. Goldstein and Lawyer Goodman.
Thank you, Shalom Buzz.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
And happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and you're listening to Jew to Jew, and we're happy to have you back for this segment.
Now, as you know, we have a show that we do weekly here called Jew to Jew, and we're going to break away. We're going to be for a moment what's referred to in the industry that ourselves with very loosely one day a week as shock jocks.
You don't get a chance normally to hear shock jocks on this program because we don't do that. Of course, we discuss issues of the day. And what we're going to talk about now is something we normally don't talk about, which is shock jocks and a woman who has written a book about it.
Now, her name is Joy Gridnick. I don't know if she's a chosen one. We will find out.
We will.
She was a disc jockey. With her husband, I believe. Oh, can you imagine that?
That must be very difficult, I would imagine. I've certainly handled enough cases where that has been the subject.
You handled three for me alone.
I did, and I'm happy to say that you came out fine and whole on the other side, Dr. Goldstein.
As they do with your fees.
Thank you so much. Of course I did.
Mr. Goodman, my attorney.
I understand.
Joining us now, and it's 20 past the hour, is Joy Gridnick. Hello, Joy.
Hello. This is such a funny concept. You're actually a doctor and a lawyer?
Yes. The show is called Jew to Jew, and we normally talk about all things Jewish, but as we are on the radio...
It's so funny. I mean, I can just see the doctor billing the lawyer and you suing him for the... I mean, it's just...
Well,
I'm not even Jewish.
No, we understand that you've written a book about the radio
shock radio.
We don't do that kind of radio on Jew to Jew.
I heard. But I was sitting here thinking, gee, Donald and Michael. It's not Shotgun Donald and Smoke and Michael. It's just Doctor and.
And listen, Joy. I'm sure you know this, but I believe there's more prestige, even if you are a Gentile, not a Jew. Much more prestige with being a doctor than being an attorney.
And I will beg to differ.
And we will argue about that for as long as people can argue. But we always know that you felt that way. You call yourself a healer, and I sometimes repair the healing work that's done by doctors.
Right, as long as you're not doing this by hourly rate, you know.
There you are. That's very funny. That's good. I enjoy that. Joy, you've written a book about shock jocks.
Yeah.
And have you examined just how many of the shock jocks have made big mistakes in their careers?
Well, you know, it's the kind of mistakes that come in radio. Now, if you guys, I guess you didn't start out as DJs. You're just...
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. I have a very successful practice. I started as a pediatrician and then worked my way. I'm one of the most renowned cosmetic surgeons on the East Coast. And
work a little side deal later on. A few copies of the book for some cosmetic surgery.
And I have been an experienced litigator for most of my career. And this I dabble in radio. I enjoy the program.
As do I. And we are lifelong friends.
So we're not familiar with the shock jocks.
Oh, and you're still friends. How amazing. Well, yes, the story of they're all stories, and they're all true radio stories. They're,
yes.
We're not pretending they're actual, real, no fooling, not made up, honest, factual, oh my gosh, events and occurrences that happen to your favorite radio personalities all across the country.
Joy, you were on the radio. You've done a radio show. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure. That's you sound like you're very skilled at radio.
Oh, well, what a nice compliment coming from you. Is this the doctor?
So that was the Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
That was the attorney. This is the doctor.
Thank you very much. But you know, when you're first starting out in radio, a lot of things happen and may have even happened to you and may spark some stories that you might want to tell after our interview of radio things that have happened.
I could share a number of them if you'd care to hear one of mine.
I believe you've already started a story here, and I am no attorney. I am simply a doctor, which is higher on the pecking order.
There would be.
I believe there is some sort of sexual harassment going on right now between you and the lovely Ms. Gridnick on our telephone.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
I think you're backing me into a corner here.
I was just, Joy, bear with me, this is Dr. Goldstein. I was just pretending for a moment to be a shock.
Yeah, I understand. And I was going
to make me squirm and make all the listeners wonder.
Joy.
What happened? Should we look? Should we look?
Joy.
Joy.
I was going to regale you with the tale of a certain physician who felt it more important to do a consult with a patient than make his weekly radio show and left his attorney friend or so-called friend hanging in the lurch while he was late. By, I should tell you, 19 minutes.
18 minutes
for his program, and we will always disagree. It was almost 20 before you got your equipment on.
And what did you do to fill all that time?
I talked about some of my most interesting cases. One of my most interesting litigation.
He's history.
Yes.
And now we're going, I'm afraid, Joy, we're going to have to hear the other side of the coin.
Oh, here we go.
Which is the time... A few years ago, when I showed up on a Wednesday, and I said, where's my good friend Michael, the attorney? And, oh yes, that's right. He's having to defend himself in legal court, as there were those charges against you. He was nearly disbarred.
You're fabricating this. This is such a fabrication.
You had to go in.
That's a prerequisite for a job in radio.
You had to go into the judge's chambers.
Are you talking about Cohen versus Cohen?
Of course I am.
That's all well and good, but you don't know anything about what you're talking about.
All I know is that I call the courthouse.
I don't hold your scalpel when you try to make women look 30 years younger, do I?
And I don't hold your briefcase when you try to take away a man's lifetime.
Amongst yourself. I think I better stay out of this.
Joy, may we ask you something?
Yes, let's change. Let's get back to the topic.
Really, the shock jock.
We apologize.
Revolution.
Yes, shock jock.
And incidentally, the Cohen case, I believe, settled out of court.
Out of court, as most of the good ones do.
These shock jocks, and we try not to hear them, but we hear their exploits constantly. The disc jockeys doing the stunts and saying the language and doing the sex. When is this going to end, Joy? When
excellent
are we going to get
question,
some
doctor.
Some wholesome news? Thank
excellent
you, attorney.
Question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm not sure. I think that as long as we have airwaves, we're going to have trouble.
Now, I'm reading here, you've written this book called True Radio Stories.
Yes.
And I do not want to insult our audience. So let me first say to you, audience, that please do not take what I'm saying literally. Joy, incidentally, do you think Imus needs to be stopped?
Do I think he needs to be stopped?
Yes, he's one of those shock jocks.
I don't know how he really earned that term, shock jock, but I think he's glad to have it because he certainly needs something. And he's
touché, and bravo.
Arena, but,
I say bravo to you.
Shock jock.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a situation where you make somebody squirm and make them uncomfortable, and then the audience, it's like an accident. They don't know whether to listen or
not. I'm reading here something.
Now, listen to this. Joy Goodnick says in her book, and ladies and gentlemen, again, please don't be offended. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to someone else.
Who?
Well, I'm talking to the audience. Must you always be the litigator?
You confuse me with the way you express it.
Joy Gridnick has written in her book about a country radio station that offered, ladies and gentlemen...
I was going to read that.
Bull sperm.
I had that in my hand. Why did you steal that from me?
Why don't you sue me?
Why did you steal from me?
Why don't you sue me?
All doctors steal.
All lawyers sue.
All right.
This is a story about a personal appearance.
A country radio station that offered bull sperm as a prize at an event. Now this...
I will be representing Don Imus in Imus versus the Grim Reaper.
It was for the Cattle Breeders Association, and the Poor Morning Team, it was a man and a woman, they showed up, you know, just to MC the event, and they
sperm.
Had no idea what the first prize was going to be.
Sperm... As a prize?
Must you say the word over and over again? I believe we heard it the first time.
All right. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you didn't tell the fart story. Can you say fart on your stage?
Yes, I suppose, but I find it distasteful.
I don't know. This is not allowable. I just like to say on our show, this is not allowable.
I'm sure this has happened to you before, where the microphone is on and you don't know the microphone is on. And there's one man, one DJ, passing off the show to the next. And the new DJ comes in. The old DJ's still sitting there, and he says, "Don't come in here. I've been farting all afternoon. It smells like a litter box in here." So, you know, that just goes out over the airwaves.
No, I want to say something, and please, darling, don't take this. That was indiscreet and uncalled for.
Not funny. We don't do that.
Here.
And that's not even a shock jock story.
Really? Yeah, well, you know, in that arena... Of that type of activity, it's just something we find in immense.
It's sophomore.
Distasteful. I mean,
because
if you're
even a shock jock wouldn't want that personal information given out over the airwaves.
This is true, and I would think it was actionable if someone was to do that.
Now, I must ask you this because we are running out of time for the segment. I want to mention
she's a lovely woman.
The book is called True Radio Stories, and we can go to All Star with two R's, like Ringo Starr.
Her energy is contagious.
AllStarRadio.com.
Very good.
Yes, you know that it's only available at AllStarRadio.com. It's only on the internet.
Can you tell me, do you think there are more Jewish shock jocks in America
or Gentiles? A very legitimate question.
Questions keep getting more and more difficult. I'm glad the interview's screeching to a halt.
A very legitimate question.
The show is Jew to Jew, darling. Do we discuss all things Jewish to all Jewish people?
I think that it would probably cost a lot more if that were the case.
It would cost a lot more.
Was that
a slur?
Are you being a shock jock with us?
I think Joy Gridnick. Joy Gridnick, I believe there's a little shock jock in you.
I think so.
Joy Bono's Gridnick to you.
Oh, that's right. You're contagious, infectious, and wonderful.
And
you really are.
And you two are delightful. I just like to see, you know, just the two of you, Donald, Michael.
Yes,
hey,
yes.
Later that night, it's Donald, Michael, Joy.
That's right. That's wonderful. And the three of us maybe should get together and do a program sometime.
Listen, the book
and
is...
another book.
The book is called...
give me more of your stories.
Very
true radio stories. We want to thank Joy.
You've been immensely joyful to have us.
Joy, I have a joke for you.
You
tell me if you could put this in your book. And ladies and gentlemen, Jews or Gentiles, please don't be offended. This segment was brought to you by the world's first kosher beer, Hebrew.
Hebrew. That's right.
Hebrew. Is that a shock jock joke?
That's very funny. I love
you. You're only getting away with this because you're the real deal.
That's right. We are the real deal. Don't ever forget that.
You're wonderful. Hold on, please. Our producer needs to speak to you.
Thank you so much, Joy.
You're
Goodman.
Wonderful.
Hold on.
You.
Goodbye.
Hold on.
You.
Hold on.
My
a second.
You.
Darling, hold on, please.
You've been listening to Jew to Jew with Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, Esquire. Brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates.
Tune in again next time for Jew to Jew on the Westwood One Radio Network.
And remember, as Michael Hoffman says...
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
We've got to pay the bills.
No, Lord knows that's true.
Don't turn that into a joke. And we'll be right back, everybody, on the Westwood One Radio Network. Okay, now the best part.
See how it went.
Joy! Hello, Joy?
She hang up?
I believe she did. Joy, are you there?
Oh, dear.
Call her back.
Yeah.
Call her back.
And, of course, your name is?
Oh, Rob Spiewak. I had to book it under my real name.
Oh, you did?
Called me back.
Yeah, oh, okay. Don't worry. You're not Rob Stein?
No, not today.
Okay. That's unfortunate. That was,
I wanted so
you know
much,
what? That was one of the most fun ones we've ever done.
I wanted so much to bring up our real names.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
The guys like Don and Mike.
Are they in your book?
But I was afraid she put two and two together.
And then she tells the fart story and we get offended. I mean, how good is that?
I love the bickering now. I love that.
Yeah, well, that's natural. That's
great.
Good.
Yeah.
The great Jew to Jew.
Oh, fantastic. I just so enjoy doing that. I really do.
You see, let me explain the humor to you.
Hey, it's Rob with the Donald and Michael Show. No. We were going to get back to you anyway. We think it went great. How do you feel it went?
She's a talker.
Yeah, they're nutty. Yeah. They are, and fun to work with.
Fun to work with.
You're damn right.
Of like
course.
To keep your number in our Rolodex. We'd like to check.
Oh, please do.
It'd be fun. Now, do you ever do interviews with...
File it under Chatterbox.
Your husband? We'd love to have both of you on. I think that would be a coup.
A coup.
You see what's funny? She's written a book about shock jocks. She used to be in radio.
Thanks again for your time.
And she doesn't understand that she was just on a shock jock show. And now here is Rob Stein to tell us what Joy Gridnick had to say.
You got three hooks in her mouth. She had a clue. She wants to come back.
Very good.
You're kooks and you're fun.
Good.
And to call anytime. And well, if her husband wasn't suffering from an ear infection, he would have loved to have come on.
She was delicious.
I bet she gave him the ear infection.
I suppose.
Non-stop talking.
Yeah, she's just quite the chatty cat.
She is. And Buzz, thank you for the plug at the end. Brought to you by Ephraim from the Fish. Which almost made us lose it.
Very good.
We're going back. We're going back downstairs now.
Yes, they're going to be hitting more sausages.
And hopefully there will be a Sandy Koufax down there.
Yes, I certainly hope so.
You know, I certainly have seen a lot of Puerto Ricans, mm-hmm. a lot of Japanese players, but I defy you to name me a hot Jewish prospect currently in the major leagues.
As I always tell you, Donald, give it time. Give it time. Time will tell.
Where is Hank Greenberg when you need him?
That's right. He's probably dead. That was a long time ago. Live in the now.
Sandy Koufax, where have you gone?
Oh, I wish he was still playing. He was wonderful.
This is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. We can't stop doing this.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Frederick Verma wants to know why you and the Orioles don't go out and get some more team speed.
Team speed, for Christ's sake. You get f***ing goddamn little fleas on the f***ing bases, getting picked off, trying to steal, getting thrown out, taking runs away from you. You get them big f***ers that can hit the f***ing ball out of the ballpark and you can't make any goddamn mistake.
Well, Terry Elliott of Washington, D.C. wants to know why you don't use Terry Crowley as a designated hitter all the time.
Well, Terry Crowley's lucky he's in f***ing baseball, for Christ's sake. He was released by the Cincinnati Reds. He was released by the f***ing goddamn Atlanta Braves. We saw that Terry Crowley could sit on his f***ing ass for 8 innings and enjoy watching a baseball game just like any other fan, and has the ability to get up there and break one open in the f***ing ninth. So if this sucker could mind his own business and let me manage the f***ing team, we'd be a lot better off.
Well, certainly you've made your opinions known on the fans' questions about baseball, Earl, but let's get to something else. Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in a tomato plant.
Alice Sweet ought to be worried about where the her next lady's coming from, rather than where her next goddamn tomato plant's coming from. If she'd get her ass out of the f***ing bars at night and go hustling around the goddamn street, she might get a stuck in her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it from manager's corner. Go f*** yourself and the f*** with your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball f***ing
Broadcasting Network.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're guys, guys. Don and Mike.
We're back. Hello there.
Here we are out here in the parking lot. What a fine afternoon it is.
Okay, let's stop talking like that. We're now going to play a Gentile game.
I am really disappointed. And not because of the game. We have a nice little turnout. Hello, everybody! But I'm really bummed out. Nobody brought any dogs down to eat the sausage off the floor. We need a dog down here.
I'm sure a dog will show by the end of the show.
We need a dog, damn it.
We're going to get right to this now. Our leader is currently, which guy, Robbie?
Correct.
At 81 feet, 3 1/2 inches.
Wonderful.
Which would mean $810 and free airfare.
It would be $813.17 or so.
He's the worst.
And the trip on Southwest Airlines. If you can do better, you'll win. Again, the concept here, trust me, it's not really a high-tech concept.
How many sausages do we have left to throw there, Charlie Broyhill?
We got 10 left.
10.
You remember a week ago, a sausage mascot got hit by a pirate, a Pittsburgh pirate,
right,
with a bat. Then you have the Home Run Derby, then you have the All-Star Game, and now we have people...
It's a fabulous way to tie into the Great American Pastime.
We have people in our parking lot attempting to hit sausages, big 2-foot kielbasa sausages.
And is there anything really in, I don't know if this will get deleted or not, is there anything in America that more resembles a penis than what we have out here today?
Or a nice BM.
Yes, this is true. Depends on how you lay it down.
Rob, who's next?
Benjamin.
Where is Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Hi, Benjamin. This is the hand that has the broken finger, so I'll just say hi to you. Where are you from?
Fairfax.
Benjamin will soon be starring in the Richard Thomas story. Yes, John Boy Revealed.
Where are you? Actually, kind of looks like Cletus also from The Simpsons.
And how good are you feeling about it? You know, you might have won not on that
well,
one.
Not as well as I did a minute ago, but
all right. Well, you're going to hit it out of the park for us?
I'm going to do my best.
All right. Play ball?
I play basketball.
Thank you for taking time away from tanning to come over here.
All right, come on up here. Get the bat. There's the bat right over there to your right. I am stationed at home plate. Charles Broyhill has done an excellent job of pitching these babies. Underhand today.
Now, Don, you want us to create more of an atmosphere as to what's going on. Don, I warn you, you got to stand on the other side now.
Yeah, oh, he's careful. A lefty. All right, I'm going to stand.
This is our very first lefty, and you want better powers of description for this, right?
Yes, because we've got the sound of the sausages being exploded, but let's describe what they're doing. And again, you guys, you got to be like at a fireworks display. When these things go up, there we go. Ooh.
Late in the game here. We're sitting here with the batter coming up right now. Yes, sir. No, Tan McGillicuddy is sitting up here. Here it comes.
Smacked it.
I got one right here. I got one right here. We had a great time here.
That one went mainly behind him. That's one for the fans, Mike.
That's a lot. What do you think, people?
Yeah. 37 feet, 1 inch.
37 feet, 1 inch.
All right, who is next?
Stephen E. Where's Stephen E?
Hey, Steve, hi, where are you from?
Stephen E., where are you?
Yeah, Mike, he's right here.
Well, that's tricky.
I think they know the order that they signed up for.
Oh, they know the order?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
I said so.
Stephen E., what?
Steve, do you play ball?
No.
You do not. All right, Charlie, step up here, please.
You know, nothing brings Broyhill greater joy than when I screw up.
Charlie is at the pitcher's plate.
Watch out, Don. Here it comes.
Here we go.
Set the pitch. Here it comes. And it's a big drive. A drive going back by the announcer.
Now, that was a tapestry.
Man, that sausage absolutely exploded.
This matches someone else.
Don't patronize me.
Well, no, I'm trying. You're right. I mean, I think we got to make it more like
but
a
ball
game.
That one exploded.
It exploded in a shower of lunch meat.
And fell by an orange cone.
If I could describe it, I'd say it was like a money shot from a porno.
Yeah.
That's very, well, God, I'd like to, you know, hire that guy.
46 feet, 7 inches.
46 feet, 7 inches.
Sorry, Steve, only half as good as our leader.
Our leader is over 50
Pardon
feet.
Me?
Soft 81
meat?
Feet, as I said.
Soft meat,
our
get Viagra.
Over 81 feet.
Did you hear that? He just complained. He said he told me he had soft meat.
Soft meat.
I told him get Viagra.
You know, he might have a point that the meat that's been out here longer won't nearly be as hard as the meat that was here earlier.
CS.
Who's...
It's all about fighting the elements, Mike.
Who's
fighting
next? The elements,
who's next, Robbie?
Joseph H.
Joseph H. comes to us from
Joe.
The Army.
Now, Joe, are you in the Army?
X.
X Army. Where were you stationed?
Fort Myers, Virginia. Old Guard, baby. Who?
You're part of the Old Guard at Fort Myers? Let's give them a round of applause. That's an elite group.
Play any ball?
Not in many, many years.
See any action?
Yeah.
Who'd you fight?
Of course, the sand guys.
The sand guys.
All right, well, let's picture it's one of the sand guys coming at you right now.
All right, the Old Guard, a very elite group. I used to party with those guys.
And the windup and the pitch.
Whoa, oh! Oh, that's a big one. It's back there. I see it. No, hold it. We got one right here.
Wait, beyond the drain. Well, here's a tiny fragment.
Where is it? What's happening, guys?
This fragment is about the size of a pea.
Oh. It's all about. I think I got some in my eye. Oh.
You should have worn your goggles, Mike.
I didn't bring my glasses.
All right, what is it? We're getting an accurate count here.
65 feet, 9 inches.
Oh, good, but not good enough.
Very nice.
65, 9.
A tribute to your fighting forces. The bombs bursting in air. And now, I believe our first girl. Are you, is it your turn? I know, it's Keith. Keith, oh, well.
Yeah, that's good.
There is a sausage all over the building. Where's
fantastic.
Keith?
Hey, Don, my delivery's here. Thanks, just leave it upstairs.
There's a lady with a... hey, come here. Wow. She got like a 24-pack of Corona. Hi, what's your name?
It's not 24.
Was it 12? What's your name?
Heather,
and you're here for?
Sausages.
You came just... Hi, how are you? You just came.
I have met Mike.
You came to watch the sausage thing.
My boyfriend's over there.
Did you bring
nice
him?
Nice talking to you.
Oh, all right, okay.
Mike, I thought I had
one. I know.
One for
I
you.
Thought there was a chance.
I thought I had one for you.
Oh dear, it's been a hell of a month.
Very attractive woman wearing a low cut dress.
Yes, yes.
Carrying a 12-pack of beer.
I mean, that's like heaven for me.
I mean, for goodness sakes, it's like she was sent from heaven.
I thought so, and then of course I was summarily crushed. When it turned out to be somewhat of a ruse.
Jesus was a Jew.
Perhaps
the most famous of all Jews.
Amen to that.
And he was a carpenter.
A carpenter's son.
Pal, I'm sorry, Keith, we're still doing Jew to Jew. Where are you from?
Alexandria, Virginia.
All right, get behind there.
All right, Keith.
In the Army, just got back from active duty with the Army Reserves.
Ah, and he's another Army guy.
Another Army guy. Give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Look how they fucking...
Oh, he's the guy whose baby got hit by sausage earlier.
Oh, okay. So the baby will be rooting for you. Your baby was crying earlier. What's that?
Playing hooky today.
Oh, playing hooky. Very good.
All right. Give it a good swing for your wife and your baby. Here
Charlie Broyer looks in for the sign. There's the set and the pitch.
Wow.
That's a real good one back there. That's going to be close.
You got me in the face.
That exploded on impact. That's going to be very close to our leader. Maybe not quite, though.
No, it's not.
Okay, I'm just trying to make it more exciting, Charlie. It's called
now, you got to know, when these guys are hitting these sausages,
56 feet.
As I said, right on top of 80 feet.
These sausages are exploding.
And they're soft.
We are now down to our last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sausages. Robbie?
Buenos dias. It's Ricardo.
Ricardo.
Hold on. I must question. Now, he's a black guy.
Have you? May I enlighten you as to the majority of Dominican players look like this guy?
Mike, this to me is as funny as when I'm watching an English movie.
Yes.
And you see a brother come on.
Right.
And he goes, hello. How are you?
I just can't figure it out.
Ricardo, where are you from?
Chantilly, Virginia.
Chantilly, Virginia.
Chantilly, Virginia.
Chantilly, and what do you do?
Former United employee.
Former United Airlines?
All right, are you familiar with the good stick there or what?
Yeah.
You think you can do it?
Yeah,
you think you beat 80 feet? Okay.
Wow. All right, here he is. Pick it up.
Let's go. Nice round of applause. Ricardo stands in. Charlie Broyer looks in for the sign, the set. Charlie Broyer shakes one sign off. He throws it. Here it comes. Oh, man, off the wall and bounces down.
Ah, yeah. Now, Ricardo, look at you. You left most of it behind.
You know, it's almost too much swing speed there, you know? That might be a technique. I think if people
feet,
back off, they might get further.
7 3/4
How far, Charlie? Just go ahead.
43 7 3/4
I know this is very dangerous. Seven. I'm only going to say this for a second. Hey, Robert Mailman, I would simply like your comment, something I've observed. I believe we had one brother thus far in this contest, two brothers. I think Charlie has pitched unfairly to both of them. How do you feel?
He pitched it too hard, and he kind of smushed the hot dog so it's crushed on impact.
Yeah.
So he is cheating.
Yeah, I know. See, no matter what it is with Robert.
And what was that, Robert? What would the reason be for the cheating?
Because they're colored.
With Charlie, it's always race. Robbie, who's next?
What do you call a one-legged Asian woman?
That's right.
Irene.
Now it's our first girl, Irene. We've not had a woman in this competition yet. Hi. Irene, where are you from?
Athens, Greece.
Athens, Greece.
Oh, really?
Exotic.
Wow.
Are
Man.
You single?
And I'm with my boyfriend.
Oh,
Mike, I'm working for you again because I know you like him oily like this, Mike.
I like... Come on, Irene.
You know, she's all swarthy and everything.
Jesus Christ. Oh, well, everybody has boyfriends today. It's really unfortunate.
All right. Now, are we going to handicap her because she's a girl?
I think. What do you think? Do you think we should?
No. All right. No handicap.
Everybody
you
says
hit
no.
It just as far as a boy. You want to do a topless?
Come on, my little Grecian princess. Here comes the pitch.
Oh!
You know what? It.
Do-over.
Steer.
No. 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 The guys didn't get a do-over.
And Don, that was the first wild pitch. That was a pass ball. Let's ask Charlie what he thinks. Charlie, was that the first one that got away from you?
Not really, but if you want it to be, sure.
It went over her head.
She
put the bat up on top of her head.
She hit like a girl.
She did. We need a do-over.
All right, crowd.
All right, wait. Let's do it by crowd applause. Bye-bye.
All right, crowd. What do you say? Did she get one more?
How many of you... Hold it. How many of you think she should get one more? How many of you think she shouldn't get another chance? She gets another one.
She gets one more. All right, you're going to get one more. And Mike, officially this is Grease 2.
All right, very good.
Come on, Grease Lightning.
Okay.
All right, there it goes. All right, well.
This is the meat right here. Oh, what is
right
that
for a
in
girl?
There? That looks like a snout.
Not bad.
It really does look.
How'd she do?
What is it, Charlie?
28 feet 5 3/4
28 feet.
I barely beat you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Lisa has found the fragment that we can't identify in there.
All right, we have four more people.
What do you think? Let's see if Rob.
We've John found... C.
Let's see if
John
Rob
John C. Where are you? Step up, John.
That's Hoof.
It's Hoof. Right there.
All right.
Here you go.
John C. Where are you from?
I'm from Olney.
We found Jimmy.
Do you play ball?
No, sir.
All right, John. Rob, do you think it's going to hurt him in any way, handicap him? He's wearing sandals.
Yeah, well, he can't get all of the meat that way.
Now he's going shoeless. Shoeless. All right, Charlie, and here's the windup with the sausage.
Whoa!
Wow! Wow, he got a hold of that, and the crowd...
You will not believe what I found in this piece of sausage. Don, take a look at this.
What's that?
Look. Look.
I saw you put the worm there. You're like the guy who went to Wendy's and said, I found a mouse in my chili.
There's a worm in my sausage.
43 feet, 8 inches.
Sounds like you're not a winner, but you did spray the crowd. What?
Bunch of schmucks.
There are a bunch of... He says the crowd is a bunch of schmucks. Robbie?
Go ahead, Rob.
If you like, I will repeat it. Better yet, I'll let you
eat it.
It's Kate!
Kate, another girl.
Here comes Kate.
Hi, Kate.
I think that's the wife of the guy that has the baby. That means she's the mother of the baby thing.
Right. Now, Kate, was your baby hurt in any way when your baby was hit by the flying sausage earlier?
No, she liked it.
She liked it. All right. Charlie, be delicate, please. Here we go, Kate. We're ready.
Sausage
Here's
over the pit. Field.
It's a line drive down the right field line.
Wow, you got it in my hair. I bet
you've heard that
before.
Line. Kate, have you always been an opposite field hitter? All right.
No, just today.
27 feet, 1 inch.
Not
27
a really good
feet, 1 inch. We have room for two more contestants.
We are waiting to see if anybody can top 80 feet, which is really the clear leader so far.
Justin Time, Justin Timberlake. Step up, Justin. Now, I will tell you, Mike, he is a big man, a bold man, a bulky man. Justin, where are you from? That's a compliment.
Berg, Virginia.
You play any baseball?
A little softball, but I suck.
All right. That means maybe the sausage hitting could be your forte.
Yeah.
He does have the high top chucks on.
All right, here we go. Beset by Broyhill and the pitch.
Wow!
Oh, my God.
Wow, well, we got a big one over here. One hell of a hit. One hell of a hit.
Don, that sausage absolutely exploded in a shower of meat.
Mike, that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
59 feet 2.5
52 and a half.
It looked like it went further.
It's raining meat out here.
And our final contestant. Now, this is like a guy who's up at the last in the ninth, and his team is losing.
He's dipping. That's a good sign.
Who's this guy?
Ryan.
Ryan, as in Seacrest. Ryan, where are you from?
Good old fun facts.
Hey, Ryan. Ryan, what kind of dip you got in your mouth right now?
Skull straight.
Yeah, don't get no better than that.
I'm going to tell you how you win this contest. You just get on the internet and click, 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 click.
There you go.
I'm ready.
Don't worry about that dip. You don't click, 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 world camping dip that type.
Kind of looks like Boomhauer. All right, you're the last chance.
The set. Now, hold on. Here's the set by Charles Broyle. He looks in for the sign and the pitch.
Oh, that's high. And I don't... That was... Mike, that could have been like one of those things where it's a
can of corn, Don.
Thank you. Thank
a can
you.
Of corn. Man, oh, man.
43 feet, 6 inches.
43.6.
All right, and that means we do have a winner. Lisa, who is it?
Brent with 81 feet, 3.5 inches.
Brent, come here, my
there
friend.
There he goes. Congratulations. Way to go.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah, baby.
So you have won. Let me do the computation. 800. How far is it, Lisa? It's 81.
$810.
$810 and 30. $810 and 30 cents.
40 cents.
40 cents.
I rounded up.
Now, he seems to want to tell a joke.
Now let me tell you.
I gave my phone number.
All right, hold on. You've also now besides the $813, you've also won round trip airfare anywhere that Southwest Airlines flies.
Cool.
The lowest fare, Southwest Airlines.
That's a total prize package that could be worth like, $4,800.
you're ad-libbing.
What if you went to like Anchorage, Alaska? That probably
they don't
be like...
fly there.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear.
Wait, say the F. No, right. No, you said F.
Now, are you going to satisfy yourself with winning the $800+, with winning the airfare, or do you have to go further and tell us a joke?
All right.
And please don't touch me again.
If Charlie was pitching, doesn't that mean Lisa should have been catching?
Is that your joke? Dear.
What's the joke?
All right, what's your phone number? What's your phone number?
703.
No, come on, really. What's your
You phone? Told the joke. 863-6171.
Very good. All right.
He's
the big winner.
Call.
I think he gets an honorable mention because he did it.
Joseph was second place with 65 feet
Way to go,
9
Joseph.
Inches.
Nice job.
Very nicely done.
Thank you for serving our country.
And thank you all. Now, this is very dangerous. Robert Mailman just walking around...
With a bat.
With a baseball bat.
Why, Robert? Ain't no white police officers around here. They ain't got nothing to worry about.
Robert, you are so nuts. You are so nuts.
I'll pitch Robert. To you, Robert.
All right, Robert wants to hit one.
I'll pitch to Robert.
Charlie's going to pick up a leaving. Charlie, I think Mike wants to pitch to Robert. Mike, I'll give you $100 if you beat him.
All right.
Robert,
this
Robert
is where
Mailman
it is.
With a bat in his hand, let the looting begin.
All right.
Come on, Robert. Escalating. Here we go. Oh!
Here it is.
I threw it too high.
I knew it would be my fault. I know he's got a bat. All right, hold on. Let Charlie pitch
right,
you one more, Robert.
All right, give another one.
Charlie will give him one more, then we got to go inside.
Right.
One more for Robert Mailman. I think he was trying to bean you, Robert.
Low.
Come on.
He hit the batter.
Robert
the batter's gone.
After
the pitcher.
After Mike.
It's mayhem on the field.
Robert has finally lost it. I don't know if Mike, I don't know if Mike was throwing at him. That was...
Yeah, well, the manager, Charlie Royhill, told me to beat him.
All right, you want to give him one more?
One more try.
One more, and then we really got to get out.
Pitch. Here we go.
There you go.
And now this is Mike pitching a sausage to Robert Mailman. Mike O'Mara on the mound. Mike O'Mara on the mound doing something phallic with the sausage.
To wind up on the pitch. Again, about 45 feet.
Mike's Robert's screaming is out. Robert's screaming is back. Thank you all for coming down today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Joden, up in the studio. There you go. Thank you. You are a great crowd.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on.
You are a great sausage.
Bring the dogs down. Where the hell are the dogs?
Absolutely.
Oh, ho.
Oh, ho.
Ha, ha.
Ha, ha. La, la, la,
la, la. Oh, God.
What a friggin' zoo. Oh, ho. Ricardo is taking home the rest of the sausages for his dog. What?
Tell the black guy to take them up.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
Listen, just to satisfy Robert. Did we make you take that because you're black?
Nah. This is my dog, Butch.
Oh, your dog, Butch. Yeah, right.
All right, now stop.
Here we go.
Some beans or some rice and you got it.
Here comes the mile.
Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, where is Buzz?
Right here.
Buzz, what is your... Robert, I'm going to have to take that back from you, my friend. Buzz, what is your lead story today?
You can't avoid death or taxes or flatulence, and it turns out all three are connected.
All right, everybody. Thank you for coming down here today to watch this.
Give yourselves a nice round of applause.
And please stay tuned now.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Hold on, we got a dog. We finally got a dog. Give the dog a sausage.
Oh. Yeah, there you go.
Daisy likes
eat the wiener. Robert, don't say wiener. Robert is saying you bitch eat the wiener.
Now, wait a minute. You know what, Robert?
Don't tease her.
Robert has spewed a lot of hate on our show, but you know what? This is a legitimate form of hatred because mailmen hate dogs. Oh, all right.
Oh, dear.
All right. Okay. Jesus.
It's turned ugly.
Bye, Miss Bobby.
Bye. Have a good night.
Bye, Miss Bobby.
Bobby!
Bye. Bye. This was all very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
No, they're not retarded. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's right, no.
No, he's not retarded.
No, or him either.
No, he's not retarded.
I want to mention the trip we gave away, the round trip airline tickets to fly on Southwest Airlines to any destination of the winner's choice. Southwest Airlines has convenient nonstop flights nationwide, including great service of Florida. Southwest Airlines is a low fare leader. Southwest flies to 58 cities in 30 states. Now it's time for Buzz.
Someone call for a doctor.
And Buzz is a new show brought to you by Vermax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. At a certain retail location, the retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
New double strength Viromax Ultra. Wow. Get it now and call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Call now 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
And now here is Buzz, covered with sausage.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Sausage leaving.
Mm-hmm. They say you cannot avoid death or taxes. You might as well add flatulence to that list, especially since they're all intertwined, as it turns out, at least in this story. In New Zealand, farmers are mailing livestock manure to lawmakers to protest a tax on greenhouse gases emanating from their cows and sheep. In other words, it's a tax on flatulence.
Two things.
Yes.
Because you made me think of things when you said you are.
Yes.
First thing, next week, it's Baked Beans Month. I don't know if you knew this.
No, I didn't.
There's a calendar
right.
that we have that shows, like, it's Ice Cream Month,
right.
Baked Beans Month. Next week, one day, we're having people come in and eat baked beans.
Oh, no.
And then we're going to have a farting contest
okay.
on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Point number two, mm-hmm. about sending things in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
the best contest that Mike and I ever did, and the one that we got the most trouble for, real trouble,
yeah.
was when we asked listeners to send us fish in the mail.
It was a CF of biblical proportions.
The post office got so mad.
Sure.
They came one day with an entire truck full of those plastic, you know, carry things.
Bins. And they yeah. were mad.
Yeah.
All of them full of fish.
Ooh.
It started as a joke.
Right.
We just said on the air, "Hey, send us a fish."
And it was a disaster.
And then after that, we wanted people to send us meat.
Mm-hmm. And then they did send us meat. And it was amazing to see those manila envelopes with the big grease stains on
them. And then it was, send us ketchup.
Right.
Send us mayonnaise. And by the time we got the eggs, that's when the post office said, "Stop! Not funny. Not funny."
But fish was the best.
Well, these New Zealand farmers are upset about a nearly $5 million tax to be spent on finding ways to reduce the gases from their cows and sheep. But police say they will prosecute any farmers who mail manure to legislators. They say the protest is endangering the health of postal workers.
How do you measure it? I mean, it's got to be like a tax on animals that you have.
Yeah, right. That's the way they
really
figure the
tax. Not really a
tax
on the gas.
Right. Yeah. But it comes to about $5 million, and they're not happy about paying.
And they're trying to get the sheep and the cows to stop farting?
Well, no. Right now, they're just protesting the tax.
Dino, of course.
But they are working on that. Funny you should mention that, because now we talk about the death part. You see, flatulence is out and out killing livestock that's shipped to the Middle East. Hundreds of cows literally gas themselves to death in the hulls of ships that carry them on their month-long voyages.
Wow.
Their flatulence and digestive activity in general is poisoning them with methane and ammonia. And it gets really hot inside those ships,
which makes
everything worse.
I mean, even a cow doesn't deserve to die like that.
Sure it does. Today's cow is just tomorrow's hamburger, Mike.
Yeah, but I think
I don't wonder if it dies this way.
I think my steak will taste better if you just, like, eat it in their head.
You're not going to know. How are you going to know? For all you know, the steak that you had last night, some farmhand had his way with the cow. Some young rusty Ford out there.
I used the stool.
Tastes strangely human. Animal welfare groups say the answer could be as simple as putting more roughage in the cattle's diet. There's also apparently a global problem, however, with chickens, while we're on the subject of animals. In egg production houses, we've learned that 40% of the chickens die because of cannibalism.
Really?
You didn't know that.
Chickens eat each other.
Yeah, apparently so.
Eat me.
Wow.
Eat me.
Eat me.
Eat me. God. Hey, what's the deal with about chickens with George Costanza? I read something a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, PETA.
I read something a couple of weeks ago that apparently KFC...
Right.
Something with the way that they treat the chickens before they kill them.
Yeah.
They according to PETA, they treat them unfairly.
Right.
So this guy has like a $10 million contract.
Had.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the part that I find weird.
What,
Buzz.
Did he give it up because of PETA?
Nobody's really talking about it. It's being portrayed as a mutual agreement to end the deal.
Well, however,
that's smart on KFC's part because the commercials suck.
Yeah, no. They said, I'm not saying that they don't suck, but they said that it's the most effective campaign that KFC has had in the last 10 years. The commercials have won awards. Mm-hmm. And I saw all this where, like, George Costanza, Jason Alexander, was upset, you know, allegedly through his press agent, and he had a meeting with PETA, and he went to KFC, and they said, okay, we'll mutually decide we're not going to work together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm watching TV last night,
and
I see Annika Sorensen,
right,
and there's George Costanza,
bringing
her the boxes of KFC. And this is obviously a commercial that's been cut recently since Annika Sorensen played golf against boys.
You look like you need something better. I'm on a KFC planet. Terrible ads.
But George Costanza doesn't want to face the heat. I got excited. He doesn't want to face the heat that PETA can dish out. PETA can and has made life miserable for celebrities, and the version I heard said he doesn't want to have anything to do with that.
Well, you should be glad he's got a job.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Larry David is doing a better job of being George Costanza than Jason Alexander did.
Absolutely. Jason Alexander has a job. In fact, he teaches acting in Southern California. He's a professor.
Yeah. You're all happy. I've gathered you here to show you what I can do with a nice fine wing of breast.
I mean, I love him. Really, yeah. There's some Seinfelds that feature George that I just go, oh, This is the best George one ever.
But I hate the George Costanza that's on the KFC commercials.
Yeah, so do I.
Because they're so unfunny.
So do I. And if you want to see something really bad, watch that Inside the Actor's Studio sometime.
Is he on it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I bet he loves to talk about himself.
Wow, does he have his head up his ass. Right. He really does.
I'm very talented. There you are, yeah.
You know, I'm a trained professional Broadway actor. I had never done any comedy before this, and I read it, and I said, this is like nothing. I'm almost getting back into this again now. Hello.
How are
this
you?
Is yeah. Dr. Donald Goldman.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. And we're talking about...
My name is Goldstein, not Goldman.
And Mel Karmazin may be leaving this company. Mel and Sumner are fighting again, according to the New York Post.
Oh, I don't believe it for a second. That's what they do.
Me either.
The paper says tensions have again flared between the two executives of one of the most powerful media companies in the world. Viacom owns CBS, Paramount, UPN, Showtime, MTV, and so much more, including this show. At least twice since March, they have reportedly taken their battles to the board of directors to be settled. This newspaper article says the board is getting tired of this. The paper also says Mel's thinking about leaving. It says that if he does, his payout would be about $40 million on top of the $170 million he owns in Viacom stock, and then there's the $320 million in stock options.
All right, listen. First off, this is a bluff. Okay?
All right.
We know this. We've worked for this guy for... 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just giving you my opinion.
You know when something will happen like that when nobody knows it's going to happen?
Right.
Here's my opinion. And I only know one of these guys from being my boss and having a couple meetings with him. The other guy I don't know from a hole in the ground.
Right.
I think that they both, it's a pissing match. They, you know, one wants to be the president and the other one wants to be the president. But really the truth is this company doesn't work without Mel Karmazin.
Absolutely.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Same for CBS. And incidentally, on a side note,
yes.
When they do turn this into a TV movie,
mm-hmm.
Gary Marshall will be playing the role of Mel Karmazin.
Perfect. Yeah, that'll be good.
That's good casting.
I like that.
Perfect.
It's funny. You're making me laugh. Gambling. Las Vegas, gambling.
What haven't I done for you? Calm.
Jesse Ventura says the thing he misses most about being a governor is...
Taking big BMs in the governor's toilet.
No, he says it's the free parking. Besides
it
the
probably
yeah, you can say you had a BM in the toilet.
I miss picking my nose and flicking it on the governor's wall.
Well, besides an appearance on The Tonight Show and in Parade magazine, Jesse's been avoiding the media since he left office 6 months ago.
Parade. That's a pussy magazine.
I'm a man, you know, but... I wish I was Jesse's girl.
Thank you. You know, if you come backstage at any WWE event, that could happen.
Yesterday.
I missed the governor's pinball machine.
Well, yesterday, Jesse met with the newspapers he had shut out for so long. He referred to reporters as jackals because they, quote, like to jump on people who fail.
Come in, you bunch of hyenas.
By the way, Jesse is a friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger and believes that Arnold will run for governor of California.
Dumbasses of a feather stick together.
There's got to be some great checkers matches.
Yeah. King me!
King me.
Quoting Jesse, he's done everything he can in the movies.
Jesus Christ.
Jesse's official gubernatorial portrait is finished, and the artist says we'll be surprised but not shocked by it. The artist used to be known as Steve Strong in the days that he wrestled alongside Ventura. He says the portrait that will hang in Minnesota's Capitol building contains references to Jesse's wrestling days, his family, and his time as a Navy frogman.
Hey! He ran out of crayons.
Here is Steve Strong.
I love to play in the mud because I wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but you put us in mud, and I'm just as fast as most of the guys. Most guys can't run in mud.
Shut your cake hole and finish my drawing.
So here's Jesse, however he's portrayed, hanging next to all hims who preceded him. But the artist says the Jesse portrait is stately and does not feature the ex-governor with ripped sleeves or a pink boa.
Thank you.
We'll just have to wait to see it. The portrait's being stored in a vault until it's unveiled this fall.
I think it's going to be a great artist's conception.
The portrait Jesse hung in the governor's mansion featured him in armor on a white horse waving a U.S. flag.
Hallelujah.
Jesse the mind.
I'm the mind. Don't ever forget that.
Jesse the mind Ventura.
The mind Ventura. Let's go bass fishing.
John Lennon and his one-time best friend Stuart Sutcliffe are both dead, and now Stu's sister is saying Lennon caused her brother's death. Stuart was the original fifth Beatle. He reportedly left the group to pursue a career as an artist. His sister, who will be auctioning Stu's sketchbook at the end of this month, says John kicked and beat Stu in a jealous rage. She says they were gay lovers at the time.
I'm sure it was Yoko's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Blame everything on Yoko.
Oh, you said the word.
Hey, guess what you've gone and done? Trip the Yoko alarm!
I swear I didn't do it on purpose.
I know. That's how it happens.
I'll turn it off in a second. But at this point, I mean, besides the fact that John Lennon's a hero to all of us, we can't blame him for anything that he might have done. He was living with this woman.
How'd you like to wake up next to this cat?
He was having sex with this woman.
Jesus. Where's my hunting rifle?
I'm going to break the glass and turn this off in a second. The Yoko Ono alarm.
There you go.
Did you wash your ass today?
Well, the sister of Stu Sutcliffe says the deteriorating quality of Stu's work in the sketchbook shows the brain damage caused by the beating she says John gave him. But a Beatles historian says Stu's brain damage was caused by an overuse of amphetamines. She also says that John actually defended Stewart when he was physically attacked by others.
Yeah. Will you have?
Amphetamines.
Yes. The perky...
Thank you. You have been a great artist.
I need an amphetamine.
The perky Kelly Ripa.
Energy surged through my body.
My amphetamines are at the restaurant.
You're going to talk about Kelly Ripa.
Kelly Ripa.
I do like Kelly Ripa.
The perky...
Kelly Lee Ripa.
Kelly Ripa.
Thank you. You are a great co-host.
The television.
She says her morning co-host, Regis Philbin, is completely behind her new sitcom. In fact, she says he's hoping he'll guest star on the new ABC show.
Thank you. You are a great liar, because I happen to watch that show, and I know that it kills me just to talk about it.
Open faith? Well, she's saying publicly that he's okay with it. Kelly plays Hope, a washed-up soap opera star, who moves in with her sister, played by Faith Ford from Murphy Brown.
So you get it? That she's playing a woman named...
Yeah.
Faith, and the other one is
Hope.
Hope, yeah. Right.
The show will be shot in New York so Ripa can continue the morning show and be with her kids, who she plans to bring to the set every day.
See, here's the thing, that this has turned out for poor Regis to be Kathy C. Gifford times 1,000. She's younger.
Yeah.
She's hotter.
Yep.
But the thing is, she's smarter.
And she's more talented.
Yeah. And unlike, I was just going to say, unlike Kathy C. Gifford, she is... talented.
She's talented. She's a very good actress.
She has now turned this gig with Regis, sitting there and calling him Big Daddy every day,
right,
into her own TV show.
And she's not going to look back.
Now, here's what I'm thinking as I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it this morning.
Good.
And he lets her talk about it for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, well, don't you want to know what Regis did last night? And he's talking about himself in third person.
That's so sad.
That he was out J-O-ing Donald Trump. When the Millionaire Show was on... That's all Regis talked about every day on the Regis show.
Right, all the time.
He come on, the big line was, I saved the network.
Mm-hmm.
I saved the network. Well, now Kelly Lee has her own show coming out.
And it might be a hit. It's got every chance of being a hit.
Sure.
It looks dumb enough to be.
Right. Yeah.
And it's killing him.
Yeah.
It's killing him.
God, I hate that C.
Why does she always do this? She's totally using me. I do love reading the tabloids.
I want to have her wasted.
I like reading the tabloids about Kelly Lee,
yeah,
about the problems in her marriage.
Oh, no.
Where they say that her husband... Well, first of all, they had a picture of her husband as an exotic dancer in Tampa Bay. So you know they're not making it up.
Right.
He's just got a sock over his D.
Oh, dear.
And he's dancing around saying how jealous he is of her career.
Mm-hmm.
And since she squeezed out the third baby,
mm-hmm,
that he tells her she has matronly arms.
Oh!
Oh,
no.
It said on the Regis and Kelly Lee show now that she is wearing long sleeve shirts every day.
Why don't you show your arms? How come you're not going sleeveless anymore? Did he pick on your arms again?
Because the husband said that.
That Chippendale.
How great is that?
Kelly says she's also hoping to drag Regis along for an occasional appearance on her new show, quoting her, he'll play the sleazy agent.
I think a good show would be Bob Hope and Faith.
Yes.
As she stands by the casket, just fluffs the pillows. You ready to get in?
Me, me, me.
Right after CSI, Iowa City.
Me, me, me.
Right after CSI, Wichita. And right back where we were yesterday.
Yep.
Buzz, hold on there, please.
All right, Ben.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Once again, here is Buzz Gurdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Well, we listened with great interest as sexiest man alive Brad Pitt said, and I quote, "We shouldn't be so consumed with plastic surgery, clothes, big pearly white teeth, or what shampoo we use. People are..."
Someone call for a doctor?
"People are too obsessed with their image," end quote.
Someone call for a doctor?
There he is.
MSNBC reports Brad's been spotted visiting a cosmetology clinic in L.A., apparently for acne treatments. Pitt, who has big pearly white teeth,
Pitt. Get it, Pitt,
is hooked up with Jennifer Aniston, who advertises the very shampoo he's criticizing.
Well, he should just shut up.
I mean, he seems like, you know, in some movies he's okay. Like, I like him in Ocean's 11.
He's
right?
A nice enough, seems like a nice enough guy. But
basically, right. He's just one of these, like, dumb, good-looking guys who hit life's lottery.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's a movie star without a lot of appreciable talent,
right.
And he gets to bang Jennifer Aniston.
Exactly.
So just shut up. Go get your zits picked. You know, like I had to do when I was a kid. I hated when my mom would take me to the dermatologist because he just had this big metal thing, and he would just poke the blackheads out of my nose.
Ouch.
That was it. It was like, "We're going to the dermatologist." I would say, "No.
No.
I'd rather go to the dentist to have my braces tightened." Really, to have new rubber bands put in my braces and go to the zit doctor.
Oh, zit doctor.
I'd be sitting there, and he'd go, "Oh, you got a lot of blackheads on your nose. Oh, let me..."
There it is.
That's the tool.
It's only take a minute. Here we go. Oh, that's a big one.
You know, I'd come out, and seriously, my nose would be bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean, not like bleeding from the nostrils.
No. Right.
Bleeding from where this guy... And my mom would always say to the doctor, "Thank you so much."
Wow.
Bitch. Your nose will look much better. Bitch. Bitch, you wouldn't do this if I was your real son. Goodness, because I'm adopted. Speaking of which...
Yes.
I wanted to get to this earlier, Buzz, if you give me one second.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the show, my brother and I were talking about my parents.
Yes.
And before the end of the show today, I want to say, please to join Mike O'Mara.
Ah, you got me again.
And the Crap Blues Band.
And the Lord said, "Let there be crap."
And that would be tomorrow night at Uncle Sam's in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
And on Saturday at Ned Devine's in Herndon. Don't forget, all cripples get in 50% off.
Hallelujah.
And free if you go to both shows.
Very good. Nice. Thank you.
And also, please remember that this weekend, Rob and I will be in beautiful Sacramento, California.
I think you're going to have a great crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Saturday night, July 19th, we're going to be at Club Aqua in Cypress Heights to see everybody and say hi.
And for anyone who comes gets their blackheads picked.
Go to khtk.com for more information. And as a part of the deal with Mike in the bet, which is why I'm going out there, even though I like it there, I lost the bet. We'll be arriving at 11:07 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast time, Northwest Airlines flight 395, Terminal B, gate 21.
It'll be money.
It will be.
And you'll be recording that when you come out of the shoot, right?
We're going to record just about everything.
Very wonderful.
And including the 2 hours at the club with just me and our listeners without you to help.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm starting to, if you're trying to make me feel guilty, I'm starting to feel guilty a little bit. You know why? Because there is no joy. You boys might try to fake it. There is no joy.
No, and Rob told me that, you know, the club has the big sign, you know, "Meet Don."
Yeah.
Normally, you know, there's solace in numbers. I mean, yeah.
I know.
No, it's just me.
Yeah, it'll, well, you know, you got the key strategy that I think is going to carry you through the weekend.
Drinking?
Drink heavily.
Yeah. And the retarded PD was saying to Rob, "Well, what are you guys going to do?" It's like, "We think we do magic tricks."
You show up.
And he's still there. He's the kind of guy that'll be there till he's 80. Mike Laney. Yeah. I think Rob said to him, "Well, it's pretty much just a thing where we're just going to
work the room."
And he said, "Well, what are you going to do?"
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. I mean, I know it's
welcome
very low.
Sacramento.
It's low key, but that's what we do. I just want to meet as many people as possible and
Laney.
Say, really, thank you for listening to the show.
Right.
And I really am just terribly upset that Mike is not here to take half of this with me.
Because really, when two of us do that, it's you're busy for the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry Mike isn't with us, but let's call his cell phone.
Hey, watch out. No, go ahead.
I'm kidding, of course.
You guys call me anytime.
I'll call you tonight.
Around, give me some reverb.
Okay.
Give me some reverb
for a second. Wow.
I want to say thanks for coming out to Pub Aqua. Unlike Mike, I love Sacramento. And thank you. Thank you. Everybody, here's Mike's cell phone number.
There you go, right.
It's 1-800.
You know, I never remember this number.
Ask for ass.
There it is.
Forget the numbers. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Sacramento.
You are a great crowd.
Just remember, drink heavily.
You are a great crowd.
Thank you.
No smoking in restaurants or bars.
That's a drag.
Can't they change that rule for me this weekend?
Maybe they can.
And never go to California.
It is the capital of the state.
I'm just going this weekend.
We were taking care of your hotel room, and he said, I'm pretty sure they have non-smoking rooms. I said, well, I tell you what, they're going to have at least one this weekend.
You mean smoking room?
Oh, yeah, forgive me. I said, yeah, they needed a smoking room.
I called Rob and I said, I hate to be a diva.
I said, yes, Cher.
But this is my only diva request. I must have a smoking room
right.
in the hotel.
Very good.
So, we'll see. Maybe we just have to crack that window open a little bit.
Sure. And it's not like that smoke carries, right?
Well, according to Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead, they've really done the place
and
nicely.
I think it's terrific that you're patronizing a sponsor and using Red Roof pins when you're out there.
And registering under our own names. Call us.
Wearing khaki pants.
Miss Diana Ross is not off the hook from DUI charges in Arizona. A judge there has ruled that the breathalyzer test she took on the night in question can be used in court.
There she is.
Ross's lawyer.
What happened?
I'll drink to that.
Ross's lawyer argued that she was unlawfully coerced by the police to take the breath test, but the judge says Ms. Ross didn't look coerced on the videotape. Ross also reportedly failed multiple field sobriety tests. She also told them she had pulled into a video store parking lot to return a tape, even though it was 3 a.m. and Blockbuster was closed.
Well, let me just say it. I'm certainly not going to be a character witness for Diana Ross, but they do have the slot at Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to put it in the slot.
But shove it in the slot slowly so as not to damage anything.
You talked about the fact she had a little trouble. They had her recite something, and she had trouble reading it back to the police. So that was one of the field sobriety tests.
You know who could solve that, Buzz?
Who?
This whole thing with Diana Ross?
No.
Magic Christian.
They took everything.
CSI Iowa City.
I'm sorry.
In sports. And as a matter of fact, you can say, like, CSI Iowa City.
Yeah, that corn was used for more than just dinner.
Baltimore's Cal Ripken says he may take a job with the Washington, D.C. baseball team if the D.C. area gets one.
Blasphemy! I want to say that would make everybody in Baltimore very, very upset if Cal...
No way, Cal.
Cal was to go down 95 to Washington.
He'll never be able to eat in this town again.
And Cal says he'd like to run a major league team, but he says he hasn't really talked to any of the area's movers and shakers.
Cal!
How charmingly ghetto.
Don't do it, Cal!
No way, Cal. Come on, come back to Ballmer.
D.C.'s Northern Virginia suburbs are bidding against Portland, Oregon for the soon-to-be-available Montreal franchise.
Where are they going to put it in the suburbs of Northern Virginia?
I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about that.
Right next
Nimby,
to you.
Not in my backyard.
Right next to your house, Mike.
Yeah, right.
They've looked at the Dulles area for a long time.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty centrally located. So
yeah, it'll be convenient.
And far enough away from all of us.
Yeah, Dulles Access Road and 28. Yeah, it'd be no problem getting it out of that ballpark.
Well, don't worry. We're never going to get another team here. We're never going to get another team. Because here's what nobody ever says about Washington. And we'll have to wrap this up. This is a crappy sports town, except for the Redskins, because it's always a hard ticket to get, even when they suck.
Right.
But other than that, except when Michael Jordan played here, we don't support our teams at all.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Yeah, true.
It's just a fact.
And finally, guys, which would you rather do? Plead guilty to indecent exposure or admit you have a small thing?
You are stealing. You are a great stealer. You are stealing our what would you do game.
Not exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
This is what would you do?
I am joking with
you. And it's a rhetorical question anyway. In Pennsylvania, a locksmith accused by one of his customers of exposing himself decided to fight the charges. This involved an embarrassing experiment involving a doctor, a tape measure, and some Viagra. The woman said the locksmith's thing was hanging 3 inches out of his shorts. Impossible, said the lawyer. My client only has 4 inches when fully aroused. 1 inch when he's not. The jury sided with the locksmith, especially because the woman made for a confused witness.
Someone call for a doctor?
The defendant's name? Bob Peters.
Okay.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Okay.
On the Don and Mike show.
All right.
There!
Bob Peters.
Yeah.
I'd like 24 hours of waiting for Buzz just to say Bob Peters. Yeah.
Bob Peters. See you tomorrow.
With a brand new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you. You've been a great crowd.
Gone fishing.
All right, Rusty, you ready?
I don't get it. Bob Peters.
PM. Sting.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.